much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
How's everybody feeling right now, honestly? Hold up your drinks if you're drinking. Hold up your smoking for smoking. Sing it if you know it, y'all.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's www.com. Hey, if you want to go to the K-Rock website, it's www.krock.com. That's Rock of the Q. We got it live. We got a little bit of Justin Bieber. We also got some Chris Rock.
Hey, look here. Why don't we eat us a few thousand beers and you tell me what's buzzing in the big bad city?
And now.
I came to tell you this year is your last.
What? You're canceling the show.
No, I'm canceling you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Wednesday morning, the 2nd of October.
Nice. Feels good.
We actually accomplished it today.
Yeah. It's good. We're one in one.
Right.
It's good.
It's good out of two.
How's everybody?
Good.
Good.
Fine.
Yeah. We need to do a. We need to revisit the phone topic. I think it's been a while since we've done. You screwed up at work.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest screw up at work. I think we need to do because I was giving this a lot of thought after the Nationals Brewers game last night. Jensen, you watched it, right?
Loved it.
Yes,
what
amazing.
What a baseball example for Kevin of just exciting.
So it was dull.
No, it was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. Oh.
Best
it was
case
amazing.
Scenario.
Yeah, and it's and of course the
Nationals win.
Nationals won. Yeah,
yeah, so Dodgers fans are happy, right?
Good.
So here's the thing. It's the wild card game to see who plays the Dodgers, all right? Mm-hmm. So it's a one-game playoff. You're 162 games down.
Yep.
Now it comes down to 9 innings. The Brewers are leading into the bottom of the 8th, 3-1.
Okay.
Feeling pretty good about themselves.
Sure, I would think so.
As you can well imagine.
Close it out. That's it.
That's all you got to do, man.
And they've looked bad. They've technically looked bad all game.
And are still 3-up.
No,
3-1.
They're down, yeah. They're,
right. So they have a little bit of problem. You got to give some of the blame to the relief pitcher, Josh Hader, who loads the bases, which isn't what you want when mm-hmm. it's a tight game like that. But then there is a hit to the outfield, and Trent Grisham is the player's name, who I probably wouldn't know if Christian Yelich hadn't been hurt, hadn't been out for the season. He's the National League MVP, right? Mm-hmm. So he's ordinarily in that spot, and he's a phenomenal outfielder.
Right.
Phenomenal. Trent Grisham is very good.
Right.
But not for 1 second last night.
Oh, no, he didn't miss it.
The ball went right by him.
Oh.
Went right by
him. It wasn't a fly, it was on the ground?
Right on the ground.
Yes.
I mean, a routine play.
A very routine play with the entire season and city on his back at that moment.
Yeah.
And in the post-game interview, he's like, look, you know, this is what you live for, is moments like this. You just hope you come through. But I don't know, man. I don't know how you let everyone down. And I know his teammates are rallying him around, and they're like, look, you've been playing great in for Christian. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. I mean, we wouldn't even make the playoffs if it weren't for you, so don't feel bad. But how do you not?
That's on Hader. I hate to break it to you.
Oh,
none of
yeah.
that's happening without Hader just demolishing everything that he set up. It was ridiculous. Hader is the reason.
Oh, he set the table.
Went.
Number one, you're being a hater.
Hater's going to hate. That's what I heard.
No, he set the table, Albie. You're absolutely right. But those runs don't come in if Trent Grisham makes that play.
Only the go-ahead.
One or two.
Right.
No, the go-ahead doesn't come in with the play.
But you don't lose the lead is what
you
I'm
don't
saying.
Lose the lead. You tie,
You don't
though.
Lose the lead.
You tie.
So.
Did you see what the Washington fans did? Like right after, like their celebration?
No, what was their celebration?
Was it the beer?
Throw their beer in the air.
Yeah, there was beer all over the place.
No, but they literally throw their beer in the air.
Yeah.
What celebration, where did that start?
That's I have money to burn, I guess. Because those are $19 beers.
And imagine, it's like, when you shoot a gun in the air, it's coming down.
Right, someplace. Right. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what a weird way to celebrate.
Well, I mean, they haven't had much to celebrate.
That's true.
No. Playoff wise.
Oh, I thought you meant in general.
So they just didn't know what to do. They just threw stuff. Did not know how to control their arms?
The clip is legitimately, it shows the play. Then it goes to the fans, and there is just, I would say, 15 to 20 fountains of fluid.
It's just the liquid. Yeah, it's not the can or cup.
No, they just throw up the liquid in the air, and it looks like the Grove. Like the fountain at the Grove.
Are there little kids playing in it?
You didn't go Bellagio,
you
went the Grove.
No, because it was smaller. Smaller and sadder, to be honest. But it was just, that's all you saw in the air. I was like, this, I don't know if I want to be there or if I never want to go there.
You never want to go there.
Yeah, it was a cool looking thing.
I got so excited watching that.
You don't want a beer shower.
If my team was going to the playoffs in that crazy of a fashion, absolutely.
You're sort of good with it.
Absolutely.
I've been at USA Mexico soccer games, and there's a lot of beer.
That's not beer.
That's a lot.
I think we know that, Kevin.
I've been covered many times.
Not all beer.
And what I think is beer.
What you're praying is beer. So how does Trent Grisham, how do you, I know you're not defined by the biggest mistake you ever made in your life.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Bill Buckner. Yeah.
In your mind, like, 20 years from now, he's still thinking.
I mean, he's going to have a nightmare about that play 20 years from now. Yeah.
20, I mean, this, he takes the Bill Buckner name. No?
No.
I don't think so, because the stakes aren't as high, because this is just a wild card
pretty
game.
Pretty close.
But it's not the World Series.
Yeah. No, but it's Milwaukee.
It's not the World Series. Yeah. Oh, in Milwaukee, they will not forget his name. That's for sure.
Right.
But I just wonder if I've screwed up in that public a fashion with so much writing on it, I wonder if I would be mature enough and disciplined enough to be able to say, I got to put it behind me and on to the next one.
You still have time, Bean. Like, you know what I mean? Here on this show, you can easily do something awful and then have to decide.
Well, I mean, let's not hope for that.
Well, I mean,
hoping for.
I'd like to see how you react. Is what I'm saying. So,
the response.
You still have time.
I still blame this on Hader. I'm going to go ahead and just do it.
No, that's legit. But I mean, it's they both take some of the blame.
Oh, sure. But I mean, the majority of the blame.
So the playoffs start now.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Plus,
well, the playoffs started last
hair.
Night. Yeah,
last night. I mean, other than last night, was last night the only playoff game?
Wild card game.
Right.
Now they go to the Dodgers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were there any other games last night besides the wild card game?
No.
Okay. That's all I was
Who's
asking.
On first, though?
Right.
I also want to say that in the Hader, like, if he forever will have his name attached to this, I don't think anyone here will remember the pitcher in the Buckner play.
I think you're right.
It's Calvin Schiraldi, but I don't think people remember that ever. Because it sadly gets to be blamed on. And the, like I said, the funny thing is even if he picks up that ball, it's a tie game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And he's picked up that ball, I assume, 1 million times
His entire life since Little League.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's just rough. There is one more wild card game. It's tonight, by the way, and it's in the American League. So it's the Rays versus the Athletics to see who gets to play Houston. But the Dodgers
start tonight.
Dodgers start
Thursday.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
At 5:30.
Holy crap.
You don't like baseball at all. You don't
schedule.
Really don't.
They have to do the two wild cards in the NL and the AL to determine the first game for both league's playoff game.
Got it. Yeah. So tonight is the last wild card game.
Yeah.
That's right.
Then everyone plays Thursday.
Yes.
Can I translate?
Not everyone.
I speak Kevin.
Yeah. Yes.
Hockey starts today.
I mean, honestly.
That's what's in his head.
Honestly, I'm surprised he's even able to put together the scheduling for baseball, because it's just tonight, really. Okay. Got it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
The show is bad. I don't know why, and I think it's your fault.
Oh, all right. We have a movie reviewer who has seen The Joker named Amy Nicholson, who we're going to talk to today.
Mm-hmm. She's great. She has a podcast with Paul Scheer that is, I think, the most enjoyable movie podcast.
But this isn't just a movie review.
No.
You can get that anywhere. This is a broader discussion about why this movie is so controversial, even being released.
Yes,
And they're not giving interviews about it, and there's warnings about violence at screenings and the whole deal. There's a lot going on with
the
Joker.
The FBI is involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about have you bought things from Instagram ads? Because we went around the room yesterterday. Most of us have.
Sure have.
They are effective.
Bean makes us guess.
He sure does.
Yes, he does. The queen eats bananas, and how she eats them is fascinating.
Yeah.
I really don't like anything about her.
Yeah.
But the way she eats bananas.
Mm-hmm. It's so sexy.
Damn sexy.
So sexy.
Okay. Damn concerned sexy.
We like it.
Kevin over in the corner yesterday. Just, what are you doing, Kevin?
Watching the queen eat a banana.
All right. I mean, sounds good.
And you have a favorite pet. On the internet.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
Me.
I mean, who doesn't?
I don't.
That's why I'm on the internet. Yeah.
That's why the internet exists.
Yeah. I have said many times, if you remove cats from the internet, it just collapses. It doesn't. There's no way it lasts.
Not wrong.
Right. All right. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Lots of good stuff to give away today on the program. Lots of good stuff for you to win, including tickets for Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. Also, LA Comic-Con tickets coming up. And if you loved Maleficent with Angelina Jolie, she is back in Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. We've got a K-Rock screening to hook you up with on the way as well. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
What's happening?
Let's do a little congratulations to start off the show. Some good news.
Okay.
Imagine Dragons, Dan Reynolds, and his wife, Asia, have welcomed their fourth child, a little boy named Valentine.
Too many kids.
Too many?
Too many.
Okay, all right.
That's honestly too many kids.
Agree.
But they're not all babies, though.
But they're Mormons, though. That's how they do it,
They're
right?
Mormon. This is not a lot. They are on their way.
They're on the lower end?
Trust me.
This is just step one for a Mormon.
I grew up with a lot of Mormons, and I lived in Utah. This is a starter family.
Forgive me if I have this wrong, but don't you need five in order to get your own planet?
Well, it's the celestial kingdom, and it's not really a number.
Okay. I thought it was five. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they're on their way.
They sure are. But I thought that his post on Instagram was, I didn't even realize it was the same day, but said, born this morning on October 1st, the name Valentine means strong, as today marks the second anniversary of our most tragic day in Vegas. It now also represents the day that we celebrate the birth of new life. We are truly feeling Vegas strong today. And yesterday was the 2-year anniversary of the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. So, really rough time in Vegas, but congratulations to Dan Reynolds. Well, Valentine, he joined sister Arrow Eve, who's 7, and twins Gia James and Coco Ray, who are 2.
Nope.
Who's naming these kids?
Dan and Asia Vogelman.
They're just walking around in Urban Outfitters and turning tags over and being like, what's this clothing brand called? Oakwood? All right, fine.
Oh, Valentine is a cute name. Arrow is a cute name for a little girl. Coco, adorable for a girl. Gia, I love all those names.
Okay.
The next one, Forever 21. Mm-hmm. She's going to be very sweet.
Can't wait for Wet Seal.
Okay, I don't love that for a kid. But this story was bonkers. Matt Damon was doing a sit-down interview with his Ford versus Ferrari co-star Christian Bale for British GQ, where he just kind of casually mentioned that he turned down one of the most lucrative acting roles of all time. He admitted that back in the day, he was offered the lead role in Avatar, which would have come with an astonishing amount of money. He said, Jim Cameron offered me Avatar, and when he offered it to me, he goes, no, listen, I don't need anybody. I don't need a name for this, a named actor. If you don't take this, I'm going to find an unknown actor, give it to him, because the movie doesn't really need you. But if you take the part, I'll give you 10%.
Wow. 10% of the biggest movie of all time?
You did the math.
Okay, hit me.
Which roughly would have earned him around $250 million.
Oh.
For one movie.
The role eventually went to Sam Worthington. Oh. Don't know if he got that.
No, there's no way.
He did not get no.
Yeah, but
10%.
Yes.
That's so much.
Usually when you hear, great point, Jensen, usually when you hear those kind of deals where you get the back end, it's usually like 1%.
Right.
Nobody gets 10%.
Yeah. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Matt Damon does admit that he regrets the decision to pass on the award-winning blockbuster. However, the reason isn't the mountain of money that he missed. Mm-hmm. He said the reason had to do more with working with James Cameron. He said, he works so infrequently, I realized in having to say no that I was probably passing on the chance to ever work with him. So that sucked, and it's brutal. But my kids are all eating, and I'm doing okay.
Seems fine.
Which seems okay, but good Lord. Can you imagine?
And when did that first one come out?
1878?
Seems that far.
This is a lot of money in 1878. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We should ask Ruben.
I do love that GQ. It's like the publication sense did the math. Well, yeah, obviously, because I'm sure when Matt Damon said it, they were like, that's insane. That's cuckoo, right?
Yeah. He'd be on the hook for the new ones, though, and those have taken forever.
Yeah. Plus, he'd have to work like every
20 years. That would be hard for him.
It's a weird way to also like try and woo a star by saying, don't need you at all.
Right.
Right.
Don't need you at all.
Right.
But 10%.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But again, you had no idea at that point if blue people would be even interesting to anyone.
But did he say why he turned it down? And the reason I ask that is because James Cameron, at the time he made Avatar, already had the biggest movie of all time with Titanic.
So you would think massive.
That, you would think that he would want to, and Terminator and other things, you would think that he would want to work with him anyway. You know?
Yeah. Maybe he heard he was a real dick.
Okay.
I mean, just allegedly. Allegedly.
Took a turn.
Maybe he had heard some stuff.
Maybe.
Just saying. Maybe he had heard some things.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. Listen, I don't. What?
Hmm? Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Maybe he heard that interview. Some birthdays for you.
I don't feel great about that, just for the record. No.
No?
Thank you.
Efren Ramirez. Remember him?
Pedro. Is that Pedro? Yeah.
Pedro. Napoleon Dynamite.
Pedro. Yeah. I believe for him.
Yeah. Oh, funny. This is a shirt.
Yeah, every time.
Tiffany. Lorraine Bracco. Sting. Kelly Ripa. Annie Leibovitz. And that.
I mean, is there video of the queen eating a banana? Is there something somewhere you can direct me to? Something that I can look at?
Do you put pants on when you're asking questions like that?
I'm just asking if I could just.
It's just a report on how the goddamn queen eats a goddamn banana.
However she eats a banana is the way it's supposed to be eaten, first of all, because she is perfect
knife
and flawless.
Knife and fork, first of all.
Oh, I love her so much. Nothing has
you
ever
and I
gotten me hornier than
that.
Hearing that.
Oh.
Well, you know I eat everything with a knife and fork, so I'm so excited by this. I can't wait. What time's that?
8:05.
It needs to be 8:05.
Hit the dump button?
Just to get rid of creepy?
I don't know if him saying eat a banana should be dumped.
Yeah, agreed.
Disgusting.
Study finds 1/3 of users buy directly from Instagram ads.
Guilty.
You guys do that?
I have.
You have?
I have.
Allie has? I have.
My wife buys multiple things, I think probably once a month from Instagram.
Once a month? That's nothing.
Oh, what are you doing?
Wow.
Wow. Once a week?
Whoa.
Do you really? What kind of stuff do you...
You just joined Instagram.
And I barely use it, too. Maybe I need to stay off of it because I can't afford it anymore.
What kind of stuff do you buy?
T-shirts mostly.
Mm. Okay.
T-shirts mostly. But I've bought gifts. Here's the thing about Instagram that I don't understand because I know very little about social media. But it seems like the Instagram ads are perfectly tailored to the user.
Because they are.
And
they're listening to you.
And looking at all your searches.
And looking at all your likes, all your searches, everything. Mm-hmm. And then they tailor it exactly to your needs.
But then also, once you make one purchase for something, that's when that just opens the floodgates.
Yeah, similar.
Like if I bought a pair of shoes, which I have on Instagram ad, all of a sudden now I'm getting ad after ad after ad for shoes.
Yeah.
So I buy all those.
It is. Well, you have to. You're committed at that point. It is a phenomenal algorithm in how perfectly lined up the ads are with my interests, though. I have bought Donna some gifts on there. In fact, most recently, I bought her a little pair of earrings that are bees, little bee earrings. Because, it's all about them bees. You guys know that.
Sure.
I got those ads, too, and I thought, wow, that's weird. Who would buy that?
Yes. And she loved them, by the way, because we love bees. We do everything we can to cultivate bees, and I can't
them bees. Yeah.
I can't think.
People on her Instagram are like, what are you doing with bean? Bees. He loves bees. Let's just.
But I can't think of any content that I have sought out on Instagram that is about bees, so I was a little bit surprised to see that pop up, but I thought, oh, my God, that's perfect. Maybe it's just that I look at a lot of animal stuff, too. Maybe that's what it is.
That could be, too.
They just throw that in the category. How about you, Kevin? What kind of... I feel like you do a lot of late-night dessert buying.
I do.
I feel like...
When I can't sleep.
I feel like Kevin's life is... Every time an Amazon package arrives, he has no idea what's going to be.
It's Christmas morning.
Every time.
Right. It's not every time, but I really will tell you that, like, when I got back from vacation and there was a box there and I was like... No idea. What could this be? This is awesome.
That's fun.
I once looked through your Amazon purchases.
You did, yeah. That's
and
true.
I would say that 80% of the time you could just guess it's socks.
Socks and
socks or shorts.
Shorts too, yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right, what are you buying there, Monkey?
That's what I'm buying.
Shoes. Just socks and shorts.
Shoes and shorts. I mean, that's it. I don't really buy, like, I didn't get the earrings of bees.
Right. Oh.
No.
You missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Do you
never close shop in a retail outlet?
I try not to.
Like, you never go to Target and go, oh, I need a bunch of t-shirts.
First of all, I'm effing rich. I'm not going to go to Target for a t-shirt.
Okay, sorry.
Wow.
I love Target.
Heaven.
Target shirts are nice.
That was a joke.
All right.
So, no, but I don't like shopping. I don't like going to a mall. I don't like going to stores. I just don't like shopping. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather get pretty much everything online that I can.
And you can return almost everything. So,
yeah.
Not that big a deal. All right. How about you, Allie? It sounds like you're a big Instagram guy.
I will say this, though, before we move on. I have bought probably 10 pair of shoes. Okay, back to you.
Off of Instagram.
Off of Instagram.
Instagram ads.
They know how to get you then.
Yes.
I would never buy shoes online, ever.
That's all I do.
I got to try them on.
I would never buy earrings.
I got to try them on.
Yeah.
No, I hear you. There's a lot of people that feel that way.
But all shoes are kind of the same, bro.
I mean, they are roughly the same size.
Yeah.
I'm a size 13, so get a size 13 and they almost humble
brag. If only shoes had sizes to deal with.
Right.
No, but depending on, like, I'm a 13 also.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out, ladies, because all 13s are not created equal depending on the brand. Sometimes they're, you know, a little narrower.
They're pretty close, though.
They're close, but not always. Plus, my right foot is bigger than my left foot, and that's a pain in the butt,
what?
Too. All right, Allie, how about you?
I know.
You're going to let that go?
Really let that walk by. But
I mean,
one foot's bigger than the other?
How much bigger?
Is that normal?
Enough that it's noticeable enough that sometimes
you get a 13 and a 14.
No, it's not quite that bad. But there are times where the left shoe fits perfectly, and I can't buy the shoes because the right foot doesn't.
Do you have to stretch them out at all? Or?
I do try that if it's a kind of shoe I can. Yeah.
Wow.
Is there a store for shoes for Frankenstein's monster?
But Allie, haven't you said before that one boob is bigger than the other?
Well, most women have one breast that's slightly bigger
but
than
not
the other.
Like a full
not like
size
a half size or full size.
They don't
usually
have to cut together two bras.
No.
Wouldn't it be awesome if you were like a B on one side and a D on the other? Wouldn't that be the best?
It'd be hard to walk straight.
What kind of question is that?
I feel like it wouldn't be the best. Or it wouldn't be hard to walk straight.
Well, boobs feel like bags of sand, right?
We don't know. Have you guys ever met a woman?
No, we don't know anything about.
Okay. No.
I feel like we got off topic here. Okay, so we're talking about things that you buy on Instagram. Allie, what are you most likely to click yes on?
I saw an Instagram ad that I'm sure all of you have seen for Mixtiles. Where
I have seen that,
and
I've considered it.
They are very cool.
I'm going to tell you this. Consider them. And it is a blast because you just click on whatever pictures on your feed you want made into these tiles. They arrive and you literally just take the little tape off the back, stick them in the hallway. I have a whole long hallway that I was like, I just don't want like random art in this hallway. But to have a bunch of different pictures that normally you wouldn't even look at because you don't have frames, that type of thing.
Those aren't the greatest size for framing, are they?
Well, you don't have to frame them. They come as tiles.
No, you don't frame them. They come as actual tiles.
No, but how big are the tiles?
5x5, right?
Like this.
That's relatively big.
10x10?
Yeah, but you get a bunch of them, and now they come in. You can get them in a black frame, a white frame, no frame. I did a lot of mixed tiling in my day. I also...
How many total?
Do I have?
Yeah.
Probably 60.
Whoa!
Oh my God. A lot of mixed tiling. Yeah.
60?
Yeah.
Didn't know. Wow. Just ask it out of randomness. Yeah.
I have a lot of mixed tiles.
Yeah. What kinds of photos do you mostly use?
Nudes?
Oh, photos? No, of friends.
Nudes of friends?
Dogs?
A lot of dogs.
How many are hanging of the 60?
I would say maybe 40-ish are hanging right now.
You have a rotation?
I do have a rotation.
Well, if you have a certain friend coming over, do you make sure that one's
don't
up?
Don't think I don't. Absolutely.
Oh, man, I got to hurry up. They're going to be here in 5 minutes.
Have ones that I'm like, not the best picture, but she's coming to visit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Got to put up her mixed tile.
By the way, I'm now going to buy mixed tiles because you've sold it. But
they're
the best. Can you take them off the wall then restick them back onto
the
wall?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing.
One of the joys of mixed tiles. And I was very skeptical because I thought, okay, this can, A,
fall.
Take paint off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If anything.
Yeah.
And then once I stick it back up, it's going to fall.
The second time it'll fall for sure.
It's wonderful. Wow. And we're talking through heat, through cold, through everything.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen, and it's sort of related to this, have you guys seen, or is this just me, where you send them a picture of your dog and they create an oil painting of your dog in like fancy Victorian dress?
Gorgeous.
We've done it.
You've done that.
Have done that.
With brunch?
With brunch and Bill. Dog and cat. I might have it. I'll send it and see if we could put it on Instagram and Twitter or whatever. It's great. It's one of the best.
Are they wearing like a little suit and
yes,
a monocle?
They're done
and
like
stuff?
Victorian style.
Amazing.
It's really great. Amazing. And we also, off of Instagram, one time had an ad for that kind of, it's a hot trend right now in like fashion, but you know the, that you like go up and down and they're like little beads.
The sequins.
Yeah.
Yeah, where you could put a face on a pillow.
Yes, and then you move it and it just becomes like silver or whatever. Yes. So we did that for Brunch and Bill because mm-hmm. that's a great idea for your pets. And then we got it and it was the jankiest.
Oh,
like
no.
the pillow had like screws in it. It was just like, I was like, this, you didn't even, you barely saw our dog and cat, so we just threw it out immediately.
Janky!
Yeah. But that was the only thing we've really purchased off of Instagram, those items. Yeah.
I will say I've also done mascara off of Instagram because
oh,
I'm
too.
Like, there's no way that that mascara looks
safe.
So great. And trust me, there is a way.
Oh.
Thrive Cosmetics. It's amazing. I will support them until I die.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we're...
And I bought earrings.
I don't think we're committing till we die.
Along the line of Bean and the Bees.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how I got targeted alien earrings, but I sure did, and I sure bought them.
I love it.
I love it. I love all of it. Can't wait to wear them.
Guys, we like Instagram.
We do.
We like to buy things on Instagram. Yeah. I think it's more important.
I'm gonna mix tile all of them.
This day in history with Old Man Ruben.
It was 1988, and a guy I had geometry class with, a real brain, Mikhail Gorbachev, became chairman of the Soviet Union, giving him all the power of the Cold War. I know he became pretty powerful and all that, but in school, we just called him Old Stain Brain. You could imagine the trash we talked about that birthmark, and I bet that made him pretty power hungry later in life. I mean, he should probably thank me for giving him motivation. I called him names, pantsed him, put a banana in his tailpipe, switched out his diabetes medicine for Chiclets, burned his house down, waterboarded him for wearing a weird hat once, wrongfully imprisoned his mother for murder. Yeah, he'd probably thank me if he were alive.
He is alive.
Oh, then that dork's getting a noogie when I see him.
See, because Ruben is old.
He has seen some stuff, man.
You're a bully.
I didn't know Gorbachev was still alive. Mm-hmm. He's got to be a million by now.
He's very old. And for the record, the reason that happened is because I wrote, and if he was alive right now, I'd want to see him or whatever. And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, he is alive.
He's still alive. That is shocking to me.
Yeah.
All right.
I even kind of remember him dying.
Yes, I thought so too.
I remember him.
Who was it then?
He was only 88.
I know.
No, Gorbachev is like 130.
I think he's got to be.
This is a clone situation.
Gorbachev was 88 when I first saw him.
Yeah, when we were kids.
Yeah.
What's
happening?
It's impossible.
If I told you that Gorbachev was younger than Betty White, you'd be like, there's no way, right?
No way.
Yeah.
By the way, Ruben was a little bit of a dick when he was younger.
Really?
Wasn't he?
Such a
nice man now. He was framing people for murder.
Yeah,
his wife in jail for murder.
Burning down houses.
Yeah. It's rough.
Oh, well.
All right. If you've dialed up the Kevin Amin Afro line in the past couple of weeks while you were drunk, you may hear your message. We're going to visit those coming up right off the top of the hour. Then Bean makes his guess next half hour as well. First, Allie, what's happening on this Wednesday?
Remember the story of Aaron Carter's tattoo takes up pretty much half his face.
It was a Medusa, right?
Yeah. Medusa-themed face tattoo. Well, people have talked to the tattoo artist, Herschel Carrasco. He said that when originally asked to add art to his chest, there was no mention of a facial tattoo before the appointment, which happened at Aaron Carter's house. He originally had asked Carrasco to put the tattoo in the middle of his face, but he refused to do that. So they compromised on the serpentine piece on the side of his face instead. Here is where I just question this tattoo artist, because he said, before I tattoo anyone, I take into consideration their mental state. In Aaron's case, I assessed the situation and I genuinely felt he was in a good place mentally to get tattooed. Do you watch the news? Do you open up any websites? Do you have ears?
Also, like, if someone immediately is like, I'd like it in the middle of my face, wouldn't that be enough?
Yeah, isn't that an issue right there?
That's the sign, right?
Yeah, let's maybe chat about this, take a few days, and revisit something
like that.
Well,
that was a miscalculation.
I just... wow.
Yeah.
It seems like everyone around this guy is just doing the wrong thing.
I agree. Will he regret that face tattoo?
No.
I don't know if he's going to, I don't think he's thinking long term here.
Right. Okay.
Yikes.
A sad situation, which unfortunately he's announcing it on Good Morning America, so we don't have a lot of info on it because they wanted to keep it, you know, for the tease and for those viewers. But Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles, has said that he has breast cancer. He shared the news with Good Morning American, Good Morning America host Michael Strahan in an interview that will air today. They do a sit-down interview, and it ends with, "How was it to tell your family about the diagnosis?" And then there's a somber Matthew Knowles, and then, "Find out tomorrow on Good Morning America." Like, ugh.
It's quite a tease.
Good Lord.
Does he, I don't think Beyonce talks to him, right?
That's debatable. Yeah. Because back in like 2015, it was said they had this big falling out. They hadn't spoken. And then he would say, no, that's not true at all. Yeah. So
he did have a secret family.
The promo did lead in a big way with Beyonce's dad.
Oh. There may be some listeners who are surprised to hear of a man getting breast cancer. It is not common, but it is significant enough danger that, it definitely happens to a lot of people. Didn't Montel Williams went through that too, right? If I remember correctly.
I thought he was... Who was misdiagnosed?
A lot of questions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way,
let's shelve those for now.
Didn't Montel Jordan have breast cancer? Is something that's going to take me a while to Google, to be honest.
Montel Williams.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, this is not how
Montel
we
Jordan
do it.
Is very different. Very different. We're in trouble right now.
Montel Williams did have breast cancer, yes.
How many times will people come up to you and go, "This is how we do it"?
Again, that's
that.
Montel Jordan. This is Montel Williams.
No, he did that to Montel Williams, though, just
for
the record.
Yeah, for sure.
He received a double mastectomy.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't know you could do that as a dude.
Well, how else would you get the cancer?
I thought they'd just go in and remove it. I didn't know if because we didn't have sort of like a large breast that they'd remove it. I thought they'd go inside and didn't really take off the breast.
Oh, you think that you're more special?
Yeah.
So you don't have to have as much taken
that's
off?
That's clear.
Yeah.
God, Jensen.
And and you guys should be in the kitchen. We know those things.
With, according to Bean, your 1B and your 1D boob, which, according to Jensen, makes it harder to walk. It's been a real banner day with boobs.
We're giving out a lot of good medical information, okay? Mm-hmm.
By the way, one of the cast members on the TV show, Million Little Things, Million Things, Million Things.
Little
Million
Pieces?
Yeah. Little
okay.
Oh, geez. I love the show. Why can't I remember the name of
it? Like it? I think it's A Million Little Things. I think you're
Million right. Little Things. Yeah. He had breast cancer, and that's how he met one of the women in the show, because they were at a place where you talk about it in therapy.
Support group.
Good sell for the show, Allie. I'm tuning in for sure now.
It's great.
Words are very difficult.
So now you're talking about fictional people who've had breast cancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
To prove it's real.
Okay. I hate everyone and everything right
now. How many times will people come up to you and go, "This is how we do it"?
I don't do that.
None of you watch Million Little Things?
No.
I'm still, and now I'm definitely never doing it.
Four Pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's Million Little Things. It's a great show. By the way, the one that has breast cancer on the show, James Rodet, who we love, right?
Yeah.
From Psych.
From Psych, yeah.
So, did that sell it?
Mm-mm. Nope.
God damn.
Nope. Mm-mm, really at all.
Oh, happy birthday, Kelly Ripa, Sting, Lorraine Bracco, Tiffany, Efren Ramirez, and Annie Leibovitz. And that
Bean makes us guess coming up in a few minutes.
We love almost all of our listeners. I mean, there's a guy, I won't mention names. There are a few that we're not
crazy
about.
They know who they are.
Jeff.
Right? Stupid Jeff, right? We particularly love our people who make the effort to listen to us live. We also love our podcast listeners. And a special shout out to the people who think of us and call the Kevin Beat Afro Line, because that's up and available for you 24/7. You can leave us a message anytime at 323-520-AFRO. We learn week after week that you guys are funnier than we are, and we very much appreciate you taking the time to call in.
I posted a picture on Twitter yesterday of my car saying distance to empty, zero. Again, it's just how
it's how you live.
How I live.
Oh my God, I'm at the zero club. I hope I make it the next block to my goddamn gas station. I don't like this. I never try to do this. How do you live life like this?
It's not a way to live.
Oh, I just made it. All right. Cool. I'm in. Bye-bye.
There are two types of people who end up in the Zero Club. The people who are exhilarated by it and are so happy that they're finally in the group. And then the people who are so embarrassed and they can't believe their lives have fallen so low.
You guys.
Can't say you guys anymore. I don't know if you heard that, but.
Oh, right. Come it's sexist or something, right?
Mm. You leave out girls when you do that.
Okay.
So.
Happy Rocktober!
I don't know if he's leaving the room.
You're running away?
It's impressive.
Rocktober, baby!
Were they in space?
It did sound like it. From time to time, people try to eat like I eat. And they don't always love it.
Hey, so after years of hearing Kevin talk about Count Chocula and how he buys every box at the store, I finally decided to give it a try. I bought it, came home and just tried it right now. And I gotta say, Kevin, you have the taste buds of a child. That is gross.
And by gross, you mean awesome.
That is hardly a bulletin, by the way. That Kevin Count has the Chocula? Taste of a child. And by the
I
way,
I have seven boxes at home.
I'm not surprised. This is your favorite time of year when yes. the Count Chocula hits his hands. And if I remember correctly, Kevin, and maybe this is the problem with the listener's experience, is she didn't follow your tip, which is you don't have it with milk. You have it with chocolate milk.
Yeah, of course. Well, it turns milk into chocolate milk, for God's sakes. It's mm-hmm. the best food ever.
It is a surefire way to get diabetes,
That's
too.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Bean has long complained. We're going to do Bean Makes His Guess in a second. And he has long complained about the theme song. And the next caller wants some clarification as well. All right.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Who gets penis slapped? I want to know.
Where did that come from and do we know?
I don't recall what the story was where Omar lifted that unfortunate piece of tape.
Bean works out of his house, and there are times when he leaves the doors and the windows open,
mm-hmm.
and we all say, hey, those seagulls are pretty loud, and Bean 100% of the time says, no one can hear them. Don't be ridiculous.
Bean, do you live on some crazy garbage heap barge or, like, fishing wharf where thousands of seagulls are just constantly flying into the microphone? Because I'm trying to listen to Dave Navarro talk about lumbar support, but all I'm getting is Dave Navarro featuring a flock of seagulls.
Seen anything to say to that man who you say can't hear those seagulls?
Wait, we're told by multiple people no one can hear the seagulls.
Yeah.
Yes. First of all, I broadcast from a buoy in the middle of the
we
ocean.
We all know that.
So
yes.
It's hardly my fault. I mean, look, I'm just out here with nature, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they can hear what I'm doing.
Okay.
Kevin, you missed some stuff. You missed that high-pitched thing.
Came from his
whole
system. He
was doing it over and over and saying, I'm not doing that.
Gaslighting
like,
us.
In the middle of a conversation, he'd be like, oh, do you guys think that...
Oh, he was... He was just trolling you?
No.
We don't know.
We don't know if he doesn't realize.
No.
He also doesn't realize that he's Darth Vader on the mic mm-hmm. going.
I mean, there is that.
In between segments and by look, in between words.
Look, a man's got to breathe, first of all.
I mean, he's on the buoy. He's got, I mean, it's right? almost like a marathon.
I mean.
And second of all, right.
Hey. Good point.
I like the second point better.
Hey, Allie, I just moved into a new home and met the head of the HOA. It turns out he's from New Zealand. So, thinking like you, I said, hey, you must like Flight of the Conchords. And now I have an enemy in the HOA. Thanks.
Listen. Don't live life like us.
No.
It's not the way to
but
do
how
it.
But how can you still live there knowing that the head of the HOA doesn't like Flight of the Conchords?
Right?
Burn it
deal
down.
Breaker.
Yeah, burn it down.
Get
breaker.
Out of there, sir.
Allie, you are needed.
Hi. Okay, I'm in need of Allie, Dream Interpreter. Mm-hmm. But last night, I had a very graphic dream where I was like about to or starting to sleep with someone really unattractive. I don't remember who they were, but they were gross. And I was thinking, ugh, I don't think that I can do this. And then Bean was there. He leans in and he's like, it's okay, Stacey. He starts kissing my neck. And I was like, okay. And then I did it. And what does that mean? What is happening? Okay, bye.
She had sex with Bean in her dream.
Wait, it sounded to me like she didn't have sex with Bean.
No, she had sex with the ugly guy.
The uglier
guy.
But
Bean was just there giving
watching?
Her, like yeah,
notes.
Giving her notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's my interpretation. You can't go to bed again ever. You need to stay awake
it's
for
like
the
Freddy.
Rest of
yeah.
your... Yeah, Freddy, 1-2, Freddy's coming for you. It's 1-2, Bean's going to kiss you and make goo.
Are we sure the other
Whoa.
Person...
Whoa!
Oh, boy.
Whoa!
Is that being dumped? No?
Whoa!
Saved?
All right. Wow!
They're thinking about it.
Ouch!
I also want to ask, are we sure the other person isn't Kevin?
How dare you?
That's mean. Didn't,
well, I'm just saying. We don't know.
No, she said really ugly and horrible.
Well that's what Jensen's saying.
They're partners, so.
Wow. Kevin.
Partners for 30 years.
Wouldn't be the first time I've been called that. But I wasn't in a dream. I don't know. I didn't. You heard what I heard. I wasn't in it.
I'm
Let's
just,
not put
I'm
me
not
in
an
it.
Interpreter. I'm just asking okay. the interpreter.
Yeah. I mean, I think I come out of this looking good. I was just trying to help. You know? I was just from cheering her on from the sidelines.
Sure.
Hey, party people. David here, podcast listener. Just got done listening to your bit with the sleeping sounds with Allie, and I was hoping that fart sound was coming, and right on time, it was absolutely perfect. And of course, I just started laughing out loud, remembering that beautiful moment with Christopher Robin and Allie, and that wonderful, wonderful sound, and her rage afterwards. So let's go ahead and hear that. Go ahead and hit it, Steve.
All right, now listen.
I
want you to listen to Allie's voice, because... She's seriously angry about this because she was way into the Winnie the Pooh trailer. She was crying in it.
Right.
Yeah.
And Omar added a sound effect and none of us knew about it. And it was the funniest thing in the world to us. Not necessarily Allie.
Christopher Robin plays, you know who he is. Yeah. Christopher Robin. He had Pooh and all the other.
He had Pooh. Christopher Robin.
He's the
Pooh.
Little boy whose father, A.A. Milne, wrote the book Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, okay. And it's all about him and going into the 100-acre wood, and he's now a grown man who's going through a lot in his life. So the trailer starts off with his boss telling him, you have to lay off a ton of people. And he's like, but no, I'm going away with my little girl and my wife. So you see his little girl and his wife drive away. And
listen to how into this she is already. She's explaining the whole story.
She wrote a synopsis.
And they're not really paying attention to him because they're upset. They had this big plan. So the trailer picks up with Christopher Robin sitting on a park bench where he hears a very familiar voice. Take it away.
What to do, what to do, what to do. What to do indeed. Pooh? Christopher
no!
Robin!
No! You stop it! You stop it right now! Why?
I didn't do that. That was Omar. That was Omar. I didn't add anything to that.
God damn it!
I don't know if there's anything else. Can I finish playing?
No!
Okay, all right.
No! It is not for you!
Has Omar soiled it for you?
Omar gets a raise.
Oh my god, I hate it here.
Who? Christopher Robin.
God damn it. Oh, you can stop cheering in the other room, Omar. I can see you.
He's jumping up and down.
Dick, that's what's happening.
Did you hear the fart just then?
I just don't even.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I will say this.
You were so unhappy.
I will say this. I glance over and I look through a window and there's Omar literally cheering for himself. And then we discussed this a few weeks ago, Kevin, the fact that you gave up Omar so quick when I was like, why would
of course
you do that? And you're like, wasn't me, it was Omar.
I would have if I thought of it.
Yeah.
And I would have been proud
of
it.
He was giving credit.
Yeah, it was pretty
amazing.
It was
amazing. Good times. 323-520. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. You guys watch your beer mugs put on his headphones?
Damn it.
Yes, with one arm, it's very comical. Film critic and podcaster Amy Nicholson joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about all things Joker. Not only has she seen the movie and will review it for us, but also we will get into the controversy about the release of Joker. A lot of people are too scared to go, not because of the content of the movie, but because of what they're afraid might happen in the theater. Is that justified? We'll discuss with Amy coming up. First, though, how about some Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes. Look, I'm almost out of here. If they could just...
We looked at it. There's nothing
really
we could do.
Because I just feel like
it's untouchable. We can't do it.
Update
that. Technologically, we just can't.
So it's audio that can't be adapted
at
all.
It's on analog or something.
Yeah.
Like
it's on a record.
On a record. Press.
Guys, as you know, it's Rocktober.
It's Rocktober.
Yeah, it is.
And that means we are in the Halloween season, and I thought this was a fantastic Bean Makes Us Guess. Candystore.com. Kevin, you're a big candy fan. Do you ever order from them, candystore.com?
No.
They're one of the most popular online candy dealers, and they surveyed over 40,000.
I have to try my candy in the store. I have to open it, try it, and then go, put it back.
Lick the rest of it, it back. Uh-huh. They surveyed over 40,000 of their customers, asking them about Halloween and what is the least popular candy that you receive. Like, in other words, you're going door to door, maybe you, maybe your kids. What's the candy that you don't want in your bag or plastic pumpkin, okay? We all know that you want the Reese's peanut butter cups or the full-size Snickers bars. We all know that. But what's the candy you don't want on Halloween? Again, this is over 40,000 people surveyed, and this is a brand new list for 2019 with, spoiler alert, a brand new number one this year.
Oh.
A brand new candy you don't want to receive this year at the top. Kevin, you get to go first. What say you on Bean Makes Us Guess?
That one apple with the razor blade in it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
don't want that.
You don't
right?
want it. You don't want it.
That's not on the list?
I'm sorry, it's not. I don't think
I guess razor blades are fine.
No, I just don't think it's considered a candy.
Oh.
But I think technically you're correct. That would be the least popular thing to get at home.
So I get a point then.
No point. It's not in their top 10. We're just doing top 10 here.
Okay.
All right, Beer Mug, you're up. This is a good topic for you. It's food related.
I mean, usually I don't turn down any candy in my trick-or-treating bag. Let's go. I like these, buying them in the store, but I kind of get pissed when I get them on Halloween. But Werther's Original.
Werther's?
Those are like caramel
candy. What grandpa you didn't
know? Those are, it's like, come on, really?
Werther's?
No, it's not on there?
I love Werther's,
what
by
is
the
it?
Way.
It's like the old man candy that's always in their pocket.
Like
it's
just
like a brown.
And it's been in their pocket since 1952?
Yes.
Beer Mug and I also enjoy Smith Brothers cough drops, too, while we're on the topic. All right. No, I'm sorry. I thought Werther's was a good guess. Most kids certainly would not be happy about that, but not on the list. Allie, you're up.
I mean, kids and any like-minded person here in America, nay, worldwide, should be saying no to this candy. It's candy corn. F candy corn right in the butt.
Number one.
Just candy corn. But Bean, it's your favorite.
It is my favorite. I buy it year round. I love candy corn.
I have a question, Corn. A question.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Candy corn has a butt, and where is it?
No, you put it right in your butt.
Oh, you put it in your butt.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Here's why you, Allie, and the rest of the haters are wrong.
I'm sorry, it's number what, Bean?
It is. Well, I mean, technically, it's number one on the list. It's the worst Halloween candy of all time, according to 40,000 people. But my point is, the reason they're all wrong is because it's just like eating sugar. That's all it is. It's just a sugar hit.
It isn't.
No, it's like
how
eating a candle.
How
can it's eating wax.
Yeah.
How can
wax
it be bad?
Rubber.
It's just
it's
sugar.
A wax rubber it's, mixture.
Thank you.
It is the new number one worst Halloween candy, according to the survey. All right, Allie is on the board with number one. Kevin, you're up next.
A coupon for a free ice cream cone. You guys ever seen that?
That's
nonsense.
Yes.
Like, now I got to take a step two to get my candy?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think coupons are considered candy or on the list. I'm sorry. Beer Mug, can you get on the board?
You know those like little peppermint candies that they give to you when you leave a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Mints?
Yeah. What the hell, man? Come on.
Are you complaining about restaurants or is that a guess?
That was my guess.
Okay.
Has anyone ever handed out mints at Halloween? Ever?
I've had them and they suck.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry that is not on the list. Allie, you have a chance to get an insurmountable lead here with another one in the top 10.
Has Muggs been trick-or-treating at an old age home that they're just giving Werther's and
Shady Acres compliments?
They don't have candy or anything, so they just reach in their pockets and go, oh, how long this has been in there, but Muggs will like it.
Sometimes it's just a paperclip or some thread.
All right. I think this is disgusting. Black licorice.
Number 8 on the list,
black licorice.
Yeah. And by the way, let's make a distinction here. We ain't mad at Twizzlers, okay?
Oh, no, Red Vines over Twizzlers all day. Who are you?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying black licorice is the point here. It's that this is not involved Twizzlers and Red Vines. This is black licorice, like you said, at number 8.
Okay.
All right, 2-0. Kevin, what say you?
Fruit, like a nice little tasty nectarine.
Oh, that's a great guess. Beer mug.
That's hurtful.
I think this is going to have to be our last time around.
This is a painful game right here.
I'm sorry to say.
Necco wafers.
Oh, good guess.
Again, one of my favorite candies.
God!
And number 5. Yes. Number 5 on the list. Yep.
All the beans are in the top 10.
Jesus. Yes,
all his favorites.
Necco. I'm psyched when I get Necco. I buy Necco wafers in the store all the time, by the way. Again, just like eating sugar.
Mm-hmm. If sugar was chalk.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so we got chalk and we got sugar. Wax. Allie, you are already the winner with a 2-1 score here, but you get a chance to add to your lead here with your final guess.
Abba Zaba.
I'm surprised Abba Zaba's not in their top 10, but no, I'm sorry. Here's your top 10 worst Halloween candies, according to CandyStore.com. 40,000 surveyed. Number 10, another candy I love, Bit of Honey.
Oh, terrible.
Bit of Honey.
No.
A lot of people think it's just a big chewy mess.
It is.
Number 9, Good and Plenty.
I kind of like Good and Plenty.
I like Good and Plenty.
Black licorice in there, though.
Yeah. Number 8 is black licorice. Number 7 is Smarties.
Oh.
You know Smarties, those little sweet little chalky candy. Number 6, very surprised to see this because we all love chocolate, Tootsie Rolls.
Oh, Tootsie Rolls blow.
Well, I love Tootsie Rolls.
They just taste like a rock, like a rock that you're like.
No, but it's they taste more like rock. Plastic.
But it's not chocolatey.
Sort of.
It's more plasticky.
Well, a lot of people agree with you because it was number 6. Number 5, as Muggs came up with, is Necco wafers. Number 4, wax Coke bottles. Remember those?
No, it's not the 1920s.
Wait, what?
It's like a wax Coke bottle, and then you bite into it, and it's got a little sugar water on the inside. They were very popular at one point.
Are you trick-or-treating at the same place Muggs is?
Again, not my list. Huh. Number 3, peanut butter kisses. Are you familiar with these? They're also referred to as Mary Janes. That's that candy that comes in the little orange and black wrapper, and it's real hard.
I'm not familiar with it, and I don't approve.
The same as a mint, but it's peanut butter chocolate flavored.
Yes,
yeah,
that is correct.
That's disgusting.
And number 2 is one you guys, I think, should have come up with. It was last year's number 1 worst Halloween candy, and it is Circus Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see?
Circus Peanuts.
It doesn't even enter my realm of candy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know
anybody. By
the way,
I have a category of the worst candy that I like.
Uh-huh.
And that's Swedish Fish.
Oh,
those are great.
Those are, but they're, what are they? That's straight rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't mean to hijack your list here, Bean.
And number 1, of course, candy corn. And this has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us Guess, yeah.
Amy Nicholson is on the phone. You guys, she is a film critic and the host of Unspooled, which is a wonderful movie podcast with our friend Paul Scheer, who, God, we love him so much.
He's so good. I'm such a fan of Amy's for many reasons. But one is, in this generation of movie critics, they don't have educations in what they're doing. Like, you're just like, I like movies. I want to write about them.
Right.
She has, like, a critical writing master's degree.
Well, that's because any guy on the internet can put up a review and call himself a film critic.
Yeah, but Amy's the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell you're fanboying out a little bit here about having Amy on the program.
She's great.
And we are very excited to welcome her to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Amy. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, everybody. What an intro. Good morning.
Appreciate it. When the Joker trailer came out 6 weeks ago or whatever it was, I remember every person to a man or to a woman thought, oh, my God, I cannot wait to see that movie. I mean, it was one of the best trailers I think I've ever seen before because we didn't know what to expect. And it was so different. And it was so intense and it looked so cool. And now here we are on the cusp of the movie coming out this weekend. And you have already seen it.
I have. And if there's anything we've learned in 2019, it's that 6 weeks is a lifetime.
Yeah, that's very true.
Especially in Joker years.
Yeah, you're right about that, because there's been so much conversation about this movie. I mean, a lot of which doesn't seem to have to do with the movie. So why don't you kind of give us an overview of what's been going on in Jokerland?
Yeah, I mean, things started out terrifically in Jokerland. Jokerland won the prestigious Venice Film Festival a few weeks ago, which is one of the top film festivals in the year. I mean, it is a grand honor to win that. Usually it goes to something small and foreign and brilliant that nobody here will ever see. But this year it went to The Joker, a movie that everybody is going to see. But from there, the news has been a little bit iffier. I mean, did y'all even catch up on what happened to last night on Jimmy Kimmel?
I heard Joaquin Phoenix was on, but was some news made?
A little bit. Jimmy Kimmel played a video from the set of The Joker in which Joaquin Phoenix seems like he's in a very dramatic scene. He's got the face paint on. He's crouched in a mirror. He's talking to himself. But in this video, he's yelling at a crew member named Larry for calling him Cher and disrupting his artistic vision. And so Kimmel played this video last night, and Joaquin is visibly upset. But even then, I'm not even sure if that's a joke, because in this press tour, everything kind of seems like it could just be putting one over on the audience?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a whole weird thing.
So it was kind of a Christian Bale moment, but you're wondering if he was really in on it.
Exactly. I mean, it kind of reminds me, do you guys remember that press tour a few years ago when Joaquin Phoenix was sabotaging everything by telling everyone he was going to become a rapper?
Yeah,
yes, that's right, the documentary. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that seems even calm, I think, compared to how The Joker's been going for everybody.
But what is the biggest controversy going on with the incel? And I mean, I feel like I've been sort of on the sidelines on it, but like, what is the actual FBI? Why are they involved?
Yeah, I mean, what's been going on is that this story of The Joker really humanizes him in a way and says this Joker had an awful childhood. He's almost certainly inherited mental illness. But on the other hand, the world around him is really screwed up, and people like Bruce Wayne's dad are too rich and shouldn't have this money, and the civilians of Gotham are definitely on the Joker's side. And so because of that, people are worried that this film is really taking kind of the wrong emotional stance. You know, if you humanize, say, like Spider-Man this year and say to kids, all of you can be Spider-Man, that's amazing. Everybody wants to be their own superhero. Sure. But it's a little bit trickier to say everybody should be their own Joker.
But does anybody look for that when they go see The Joker?
Especially
there's
now that
villains
seen
in
it,
lots
yeah.
of movies. Yeah.
It's weird. I think what has the FBI leery is that this film says if you're really angry and you want to take a gun and shoot people, which is something the Joker does, maybe you're justified. Ugh. Or maybe we should be more empathetic.
You just
to
brought up the FBI. How did they get involved?
Well, what they're worried about is that there have been threats about shootings at Joker screenings. And so they kind of came out and said, like, we're monitoring the situation. We're watching this. The LAPD even here has said we're going to have more increased visibility at area theaters. And, you know, in response, teams like Landmark are saying that they're not going to let people wear costumes to the Joker just in case anybody really is going to take this too literally.
Right. We're talking to Amy Nicholson, film critic, about the Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix that opens up everywhere this Friday. How did the Aurora Theater get involved in this? Because I understand the parents there have been very outspoken, even asking Warner Brothers to, you know, kind of apologize in advance and start making donations to victims groups, right?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, the Aurora Theater is famously where the Dark Knight Rises shooting happened. And yeah, the families got together and they wrote a letter to the Warner Brothers CEO, Ann Sarnoff, that they're worried about this movie having a sympathetic origin story. And they didn't say that they wanted to boycott the film. They didn't say they wanted to ban it. The local theater just said they're not going to play it. But they asked their Warner Brother and contributing money to candidates who can use NRA money. And instead, they used their money to fund survivor funds for gun violence intervention, mm-hmm. to try to do at least some sort of karmic balance for what they're worried this film might promote.
Is it possible this is just going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy where everybody goes, oh, there's going to be a shooting somewhere, and then there will be?
It's hard to tell. I mean, the way that, like, Todd Phillips has been giving interviews saying that comedy is dead, which is always, you know, of course, like, the last punchline for a man who's bombing. He's kind of making himself, like, the studio supervillain. I mean, if this film underperforms, Todd Phillips will be the one with the makeup on, being like, I did it, it's all my fault.
Right, and now that you've seen it, Amy, like, is there something you think will be sort of violence-inducing? I mean, were in the theater, were you like, oh, these are some odd decisions in 2019?
Well, you know what's so funny about it, guys, is that, I mean, this is the movie that Joaquin Phoenix basically makes every single year. He always makes a movie about I'm an isolated loser. I don't know if I have a place in society. This is what he does. It's just usually they're indie movies that nobody pays attention to.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a much bigger scale.
Exactly. You call this The Joker. It's almost exactly the same movie. It's like you took a Sundance movie, anything from this year, and you called it The Penguin. Right. That's basically right. How this movie is.
Right.
So it kind of feels like it's just an indie film prank on the multiplex.
That's an interesting take, Amy. And I'll also say, and tell me if you think I'm dead wrong about this, I mean, from the time this movie started filming until now, we have had, you know, five major mass shootings in America. And I feel like the public is kind of on edge a little bit about any kind of mass violence anyway. Like, we're more sensitive to this now than we would have been even if this movie would have opened up a year ago.
I think that's definitely true. I mean, although even a year ago we were delaying films because they were too close to a shooting, because they have so many shootings that every film just seems to come right on the heels of something.
All right, I have a question about Joker. Is it good?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Is it a good movie?
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, the thing that's happening with The Joker is it's making so many allusions to, like, the prestigious movies of the 70s and 80s. You know, ripping off basically an entire plotline from, like, Scorsese's King of Comedy. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really feel like it's its own movie. You feel like you're more like just saying, oh, there's your highbrow reference, there's your highbrow reference.
Oh.
I mean, I kind of have to say, like, I think Joaquin Phoenix is amazing, but I never got to live in the Cesar Romero Joker world. And after just hearing about people going crazy playing the Joker, or in Joaquin Phoenix's place, like, losing 50 pounds to play the Joker, I kind of wish we were just in a world where a dude just put face makeup on and didn't even shave his mustache off and just have fun, you know? Can we just have fun now?
This is not a fun Joker movie. It doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah, no. Cesar Romero, in retrospect, compared to Heath Ledger and Joaquin Phoenix, does look a little silly. I was surprised just because the trailer was so great, and we all know what a terrific actor Joaquin Phoenix is. I was surprised. I think the Metacritic, last time I looked at it, you know, the compendium of scores from critics around the country, was only at like 66 or something like that. I really expected to be much better received than that.
Yeah.
It's true. I think as much of that is coming equally from people's worry about what this film is trying to say, as it is just like, oh, it's not actually saying anything that new or different compared to the films of the 70s.
Todd Phillips is just going to be like, you guys just don't get it. That's what it is.
You're not
smart enough to understand my man movie.
Amy, this does make me think if Taxi Driver came out in 2019, any movie where
there are a lot of movies where
the villain is sort of the person you're watching and you kind of get behind them, it seems to be no place for it.
I know. Well, it's interesting. I think maybe we're tired of reading manifestos from people who are just upset.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there is a lot of burnout. Like,
it's happening too much in real life.
Yes. Yeah. Agrees.
This is why we all need Between Two Ferns, you guys. This is why that always needs to be your palate cleanser. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're out of time, Amy. I'm so glad we had a chance to have you on to have this conversation about it. The film is in theaters everywhere on Friday. And what's the next movie you and Paul are doing on Unspooled? Do you know yet?
I do. We have Some Like It Hot coming out this week.
Oh, fantastic. Great movie. All right. Well, we'll be listening, and thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. Do we have time before we do What's Happening for a moment with Bean?
Yeah, why not? There's always time.
So fun.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well,
you can't
get
people that excited and then just... However, that sentence is supposed to end.
Great point. Great point, Bean.
That was a moment with Bean.
Look, sometimes
that sentence is supposed to end. Sometimes you didn't even try. You just pulled the ripcord.
Sometimes you rally and fight on and overcome, and sometimes you just give up.
Yeah,
sometimes you just realize you just don't have it in you.
You got to walk away.
You got to just walk away.
Mm-hmm. And now, a moment with Bean.
Well,
you can't get people that excited and then just... However, that sentence is supposed to end.
Great point, Bean.
That was a moment with Bean.
Who are your favorite animals on the internet? We'll discuss. Mine are a possum and a pig, by the way. Those are my two that I follow.
God, we'll, I hate it here.
Talk about that coming up in the next half hour. Plus, how does the queen eat a banana, and can she do it more slowly? That's all coming up.
I am back in.
First, Allie's got What's Happening here on this Wednesday.
Guys, I want to give you something.
Oh.
Because LA Comic Con is coming to the LA Convention Center October 11th through the 13th. I've got a 4-pack of 3-day passes to LA Comic Con. You're going to meet the biggest names in comics, TV, movies, and pop culture. You're going to enjoy some shopping, live performances, celebrity events, and...
I think we have a wiener!
Special guests. Let's take callers 20 and 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you will be getting a four-pack of three-day passes to LA Comic-Con, October 11th through the 13th.
We got a winner!
LA Convention Center.
Nelly.
We don't have a winner yet. Haven't opened up the
call
lines.
Now.
So there you have it. You guys, I feel like Adele has been in the news a lot lately. First with the Ryan Tedder saying that she was going to do a collab with Beyonce and Coldplay's Chris Martin. Then he was like, just kidding. I was joking. Yep. But he was literally just lying.
Liar. Mm-hmm.
And then you see that, is she dating this rapper from the UK named Skepta?
Very cool guy.
A lot of pictures of them together. They've been hanging out quite a bit. She even posted about him back in 2016. She tweeted a photo of him and captioned it, Tottenham boy, alongside a heart emoji. He retweeted that, wrote, I love you. So, I mean, how long has this been going on?
And she's recently divorced, right?
Recently divorced. Okay. And he recently had a breakup as well. So people are saying, they chat a lot. They've been on some dates. They've really been there for each other after both of their relationships split. So... Who knows? So that's just two Adele stories. And then yesterday, Lady Gaga tweeted, I'm calling my next album Adele. And people were like, wait, what? What is this even? What? Why? What's happening, you guys?
Because she likes Adele?
Yeah.
Maybe that's still a weird choice.
Maybe it's about the guy who used to do those you're getting Adele thing. It's like A-D-E, like two different words.
No, it's all one word.
Oh, you're looking at it?
Mm-hmm. All one word and capitalized.
Could always change. Could always change.
Okay. You think she just really likes
just changing
old
the story
Dell,
for the sake of changing
old
it.
Dell computers?
No, like, remember the guy? You're getting a Dell? Do you remember that guy?
Mm-mm.
Really?
No, I don't even know.
Bean?
It was a computer. It was the Dell
commercial
computer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'll find out when she names it a Dell. It'll be back in the news.
You guys should start a podcast.
What is wrong with you today?
I don't know. Can we edit out the last minute of the show?
Good Lord. Okay.
I can't believe no one remembers the Dell
guy.
Well,
we don't, let's move on.
And I do remember, but it's still pointless.
What the guys? F?
The Dell guy was great. It was a great ad.
Okay.
Your mic
out.
Just
it was a great
shame
ad.
How that worked.
The Dell ad
upsetting.
It's like to me sometimes, too. There's nothing we can do about it.
It was award-winning.
Guys, we've talked about like the people on planes that we hate the most.
Yes.
For me, it's the person that immediately takes off their shoes and socks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe starts picking at their feet. They're putting it on the back of other chairs, on the back of armrests.
Yeah.
There's the people that are like, now's a great time for a tuna sandwich.
Yeah.
You're like, no, it's not. It stinks.
Tank tops was mine.
Tank top people you don't like. The up and down people, like always. Oh, excuse me. I've got to just stand up and stretch. No, you really don't, sir.
The people who travel with tiny humans?
Parents, you mean?
Yes, that's it. That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Couldn't come up with the word parents.
Or talkers, just the yappers. They just want chit-chat.
Yappies.
Well, there's a new thing to add to the list of maybe don't do that on a plane.
Okay.
You guys have seen the Instagram page passenger shaming.
Yes.
Well, there's a woman that took off her hair extensions, attached him to the upright table tray in front of her.
No.
And is brushing it out. So essentially taking off what some would see as part of a wig.
No.
Attaching it to the tray and brushing it.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I mean.
There's got to be bugs in there.
I mean. Well, then people were responding, I see nothing wrong with this at all. The only thing that's wrong with it are now the extensions are dirty from the tray table. It's more of her taking a risk. Okay, no.
It's more of her taking
a risk. It's not true. Others, of course, reacted in disgust, but I've never seen that. Someone taking out hair extensions, clipping it to something as a base, and then brushing.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
No, we don't want to check out.
I don't know
we
want that to
go
that.
Away. No. Not happen.
I'll tell you what else annoys me. I'll tell you what else annoys me about hair, and you've seen this, is the ladies with the real long hair that flop it over the back of the seat so that it's directly in front of the person sitting behind
them. Like over your screen?
I've never seen that happen.
Yes.
I've never seen that happen.
Yes,
but
I have seen that happen.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh. Wow. Bean, you're flying with animals.
Right?
I'm flying janky air.
Right.
Is that a real airline?
That's the airline I use. Yes, Janky Air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good times.
I mean, it's very inexpensive, but you do have to deal.
It's like $15 each way.
Yeah.
No matter where.
You have a lot of trouble, though.
Not going to lie.
There's livestock on there. It's a real...
In the seats. In the seats.
It's a real S show.
Mm-hmm. I'd fly with livestock. That sounds fun. I will take a hair extension brusher over barefoot person. Not going to lie.
I will take... Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I think tuna salad... might be my top.
Really?
Because then it's like the whole flight.
Yeah, it does linger.
And I know I mentioned this before when we were talking about travel recently, is the people, and this isn't just on airplanes, I see it in restaurants a lot, people who watch something on their phone with the volume up. No headphones.
Oh, yeah, that is a psychopath.
Sometimes it's, obviously people do that with a speakerphone call and nobody else needs to hear that. But when they're watching a movie or playing a game, it's insane to me that you would ever do that in public without headphones.
Psycho.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God, we hate a lot of things about people.
No, people are bad.
Okay. Hey, you know what's good? Birthdays. Cause sometimes you get cake and ice cream. Other times, no one remembers, and then you feel like no one loves you. But I hope that's not happening to Tiffany or Efren Ramirez or Lorraine Bracco or Sting. Kelly Ripa. That's cool if it happens to her. And Annie Leibovitz. And
look. Oh,
bring it on. Bring it on.
There's one thing that we can all agree on. We have a lot of arguments on this show, but the one thing that we can all agree on is that the Queen of England is the hottest chick on the planet. Am I right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
The hottest chick on the planet.
I mean, I was always mad when they called Megan Fox the most beautiful woman in the world.
Right?
It was almost like they just completely ignored the Queen.
Okay, first of all, you're mocking my monarch, whom I love with all my heart. Second of all... she was a very attractive woman 70 years ago, okay? And she's not a bad-looking woman for a woman in her 90s now, but I don't think we're still at hot. I don't believe that the Queen is still
no longer
hot. So you're saying you would?
Oh, of course.
I would not. I think that would be very disrespectful to the monarchy. I mean, really do.
How are you doing it?
Yeah, we're saying make love. I don't know what you're thinking.
she's an untouchable as far as I'm concerned. And I mean that in a good way. It's like I don't deserve to be in the room with her.
The Queen eats bananas with a knife and a fork is the headline.
God bless her.
God bless her.
Queen is very particular about how she eats her fruit. Because she wants to avoid looking like she's, quote, gobbling her food.
Well.
Look, there are a lot of, Allie, you're a lady.
Thank you.
There are a lot of things to consider when you eat a banana in public.
I do, amen. Yeah, I do not eat a banana in public.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
I mean, you're inviting comments and thoughts.
Yeah. So what you have to do is you peel it, then you just take off like piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to like...
But do you do it with a knife and fork?
No, you also have to not do it piece by piece and let people see that because then they just see you, you know, with the banana. And you have to work the...
You have to be very careful when you eat a banana if you're
really
a girl.
You really do.
I just love doing it. Like I'll just do it out in public and like, it's no problem for me.
Okay, cool.
What would you guys guess the annual food budget for the Queen is? Including state, you know, dinners where she hosts a bunch of people.
Oh, well, millions.
I mean, if you're having 80 people over for dinner at a high-end Buckingham Palace event, I would imagine millions of pounds.
1.6 million pounds.
Wow. Okay.
It's quite a healthy food budget.
She will only drink Earl Grey tea, always served without milk or sugar, is a big fan of eating seasonal produce, and then this is where they start working in this fabulous British humor.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes me laugh. Former royal chef Darren McCready joked, if you serve the Queen strawberries in January, you'd be sent to the Tower.
Because she likes to eat seasonal fruit.
Yeah, I think we understand that.
Bean. No, we got it, Bean. Yeah, it totally made sense.
It does make sense.
When it comes to bananas, the Queen has some very strict rules. Unlike the rest of us, Her Majesty refuses to peel and then eat a banana.
Okay.
Instead, she peels it with a knife and a fork.
Hold on a sec. She doesn't use the knife and fork to peel it. She peels it with her hands and
cuts
the pieces with a knife and fork.
Incorrect.
You cannot peel. I challenge you to show me how you could peel a banana with a knife and fork.
I will have an etiquette and civility expert, William Hansen. I will have him explain to you how it's done.
Okay.
Graham is a big fan of fresh fruit, especially stuff that's grown locally.
And eating fruit has a particular method.
Now, this is how the Queen would eat a banana.
Okay, so there's a banana on a plate there, and she has a knife and a fork.
We don't peel it like a primate. Instead, using the fork, we hold it in place and cut off one end.
So the top end that's stuck to the other bananas, they cut that off with a knife while holding it with a fork.
Then we cut off the other end.
Other end.
And then we turn the knife on its side and go into the skin like so.
All right, so now they turn the banana sideways and they cut like halfway with the knife, still cutting with the knife.
Sure. A bit of a carving at that point.
Yeah, massacring this poor banana, man. This poor innocent banana is just being taken down.
It's just a banana, though.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
And then prizing it open.
Pry it open with a fork.
Well, you can't use your hand
knife.
At any point.
Yeah.
Cut a little bit off and eat like so.
And eat like so. And then she takes a tiny little piece of a banana, like you were saying, on a fork, and she eats it.
Okay, forgive me if I missed this. Does the queen do this complicated knife and fork procedure herself, or does she have people who do it for her and hand it to her already splayed out and ready to eat?
I don't know. He didn't say that.
Okay.
The guy that was just telling us exactly how she does it didn't say that. But I did, in closing, I did like the one comment from a guy named Equitable Remedy who said, William Hansen, the etiquette expert, has the kind of face I could never tire of smacking.
Wow.
People who love random animals on the internet are lame.
Have more love than you do is what how you meant to end.
That's
that
what
sentence.
I meant to say, right? I'm
Jesus
sorry.
Christ, they're not dead on the inside, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
We got on this topic a few days ago. I don't know. This is Bean speaking. I don't know if you have the same experience that I do, but this show is nothing but a constant string of disappointments to me.
Yeah.
And
wow. Yeah. He's not wrong.
I brought up last week that the Electric Light Orchestra had a new single out, which was very big news because that's a band that has not been prolific in recent years, and they're one of the most popular bands of all time with dozens
of
news
hits, being,
millions of albums sold. And I mentioned it. I shared the excitement with the room, as one would with coworkers, and it was met with very stony silence, except for Allie, who said, "Who's Jeff Lynne of the Electric Light Orchestra?" Which made me furious.
Yeah, he was.
You know what it should have made you is
furious.
Hey, I'm not reading my audience right.
Yeah. Right, but Jeff Lynne is a goddamn legend and a delight.
Right, so take a second and explain that, and I'm sure she would know who some of the songs of ELO.
Oh, no, I made him much more mad with my response.
All right.
Yes, because then I start naming ELO songs, none of which she's ever heard of. Okay, so, but there was one flicker of recognition that she Jeff Lynne, I think I know who you're talking about. And why did that name sound a tiny bit familiar to you, Allie?
Because I remember seeing a side by side of Jeff Lynne, who's got this like bushy beard and crazy bushy hair, next to a dog that had that same bushy look, wearing a denim jacket and a Starbucks cup.
I gotta be honest, I don't like dressy dogs, but that was awesome.
They look like the same person.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, is Jeff Lynne the one that looks like a fluffy dog?
And I'm like, that's not how he'd like to be remembered, okay?
They look a lot alike.
So that got us to talking about animals on the internet, which is probably what, would you guys guesstimate? 80% of the traffic on the internet is following animals?
I think if you take animals and food off of the internet, it just collapses.
Yeah. I think you're right about that.
It just does not exist anymore.
So then Jensen weighed in that he's also not only a fan, but a huge fan of the dog that looks like Jeff Lynne, right?
Yeah, that's at Pooch of NYC. Also, his legal name, his government name is Agador, A-G-A-D-O-R.
His government name.
Government name. And boy, he is adorable. Put in normal human situations, he looks so cute. And also, it brings me happiness throughout my day.
Dave, you're the
tough
king
to argue with. Because
you're the king of following animals on the Instagram.
Yeah, I have a couple. I mean, I got Pudge the cat, Marnie the dog, who are legends.
Good dog.
Azuki the hedgehog. Popeye
Azuki is pretty strong.
Yeah, Popeye the foodie who takes fantastic photos with food. Like, how does the dog not eat the food?
Great question.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really must keep you up at night. Yeah,
no, but they stage
the dog,
it.
Because you can't train dogs. I know that.
What's the dog's name, Dave?
Popeye the foodie.
Popeye is not the dog where his owner stacks up like tacos on his head, is he?
No, but they put the dog in front of like In-N-Out or ramen and stuff like that, and then just stage.
Can I ask a question that might be insensitive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are a lot of the pets that you like mentally challenged?
Special.
No, not at all.
I think a lot are, though.
Not at all.
Pudge is a normal cat. Marnie has the funky tongue.
Yeah, Marnie's just old, though. She's 17
old
now.
And
has a funky tongue.
Yeah. Little special.
Little possible special. Right. I think if you found a special dog, though, that's like striking gold. That's like hitting the Instagram lottery. Like, if I found a dog that was...
How many pets do you follow?
Oh, 50, 60.
Really?
No, sir.
Yeah. For reals.
Really?
I met Little Bub once. We did a comedy special with Little Bub. And when I held him, I consider it like on par with having Adler. Like it was like an amazing moment. Like I remember feeling him and it was like, it was a star.
On your deathbed, which will you remember first?
I'll just go, say I love you to Little Bub. And then pass away.
Oh, wow. And Adler too. Oh,
is Little Bub, he's gone, right?
No.
No, I think he's still alive.
He's Grumpy Cat's gone.
By the way, Grumpy Cat is gone.
He is special.
Right? Marnie's still alive?
Yeah, Marnie's still alive.
Tuna Melts My Heart still alive?
Yes.
Right. Doug the Pug still alive?
Still alive, yeah.
Okay.
But I go further. I'm like into at Mr. Pokey, who's a hedgehog.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Hold 1 second. Yeah. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you follow pets, especially ones that you don't hear about. Okay.
Yeah.
What were you just saying?
Yeah, your favorites.
Mr. Pokey, who's
Mr.
a hedgehog.
Pokey.
P-O-K-E-E. That's a hedgehog. And you know, Bean loves that stuff too, right?
I love hedgehogs.
You go out of your way to pick things that are not dogs. One. But dog-wise, Norbert the dog is a chihuahua, a terrier, and a Lhasa Apso. You don't see those kind of mixtures.
Norbert's awesome.
Oh, I know Norbert's dad.
See?
Mark Steinis.
That's like saying you know Obama to me. Like that's,
really?
Yeah, that's the guy from Family and Home, right?
He used to be on Hallmark.
Norbert's amazing.
Yeah. That's a great dog.
I didn't know the dog was that popular.
He is with me.
Wow. Okay.
I'm into the underground, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I'm always
looking
for the come up. I'm looking for the next. I want to get you up on the next big dog.
Sure. So who's the next big dog?
I think Norbert's
he hasn't
got a chance.
Yet, Kevin.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Norbert's got a chance. There's also a little kid out in Idaho who's got a dog. I've been searching on him, keeping track. So I'm always looking.
Keeping track of little kids is what he's saying.
I'm always looking.
He did.
Are there a lot of other influencers who are circling that kid in Idaho though? They're going to try to claim him first, Jensen. Are you worried about that?
You know what? I just got to go with the way the cards fall. You know,
you got to cite him first. Though
I'll try.
I'd just like to say that all of the lines are ringing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, people love pets on the internet. Allie, who do you follow? Who do you love? What animals online?
I just follow a golden retriever account because they highlight all different golden retrievers from all over the world.
Oh, so you get a bunch of different ones.
Just adorable. I also
are any of them special?
I think they're all special dogs, Kevin.
Yeah, you know that's not what I meant.
I also follow that 11-year-old boy. I did a great news on him called I've Pet That Dog. Uh-huh. And it's just him petting random dogs, and then he tells you a little story about each dog.
Yeah, but that's a heartwarming story about a kid.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
More also, than it is the dog.
I'd like to alert you to at round.boys.
Mm-hmm. Round.boys.
Yeah, round boys.
I am not putting that in my browser.
You should.
I refuse.
Because it's just fat little animals. And they're just big bellies, and it's so cute.
I've loved for a long time Madam Eyebrows, because it's just a pit bull that has dark patches of hair above her eyes that literally look like eyebrows, and she looks so depressed in every picture, but she's such a beautiful pity pit that even when like she's wagging her tail so happy, she just looks so defeated, and it makes me laugh because of the hair placement of these weird patches.
Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Jenny in Los Angeles right now. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Are we speaking your language here, talking about following pets on the Insta?
That's pretty much all I do with my sister is trade pictures of Bichon Frises back and forth.
Sounds like quite an existence. Jenny, who are your faves?
How many pets do you follow on Instagram?
Probably like a good 80. I don't just like Bichon Frises. I like Nessa the Cavalier, Dexie the Dachshund. Dexie the Dachshund, you guys have to check out. He just has this smile on his face. Yeah. It's adorable.
These are the true celebrities.
They put them next to hot dogs and, you know, fun stuff like that. And,
Jenny, would you...
Fun
you know,
stuff wait, like up. That, like hot dogs.
If they put them next to hot dogs like and fun stuff like that, I'm in.
Jenny, have you met any of these dogs? Like, have you went out of your way to meet any of...
No, a lot of the dogs, the Bichon Frises, happen to be in Korea and Japan.
Sounds like a
trip. Called lunch, yeah.
Oh, my God.
These are pre-lunch photos. You get to pick from the board from the picture menu.
Short-term Bean strikes again.
All right, Jenny, thank you so much for the call. 80 animals she follows on Instagram. What's going to happen when she gets a job, you guys? She's really going to have to cut back on that.
A guy. What about that? 1-800-5-
friends. 1-800-520-1067. Who are your favorite animals on the internet? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
All right, just headed to the song. Which line are we going to go to?
Let's talk to Matt and El Segundo. We're talking about the Instagram animals that you follow and love. Matt doesn't get it, but apparently he's got a wife who maybe is Jensen level into following animals on Instagram.
So straight crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, too. Hey, Matt, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So me personally, I have no social media, nothing like that. But so I don't really get it. But my wife is over the moon about all these Pomeranians. She's owned Pomeranians in the past. She's completely obsessed. And one in particular that she follows looks like a little black bear. And it's called Uksusu or something like that, which in Korean means like bear. But she will sit here and be on her phone and look at these things day and night. And she's told me, you know, it makes her the happiest she's ever been, which, you know, being married to her, I don't want to pull at that thread. I just say, hey,
wow,
good, I'm happy, you're happy. You know?
Don't give me any more information on that.
I don't want to pull at that thread, he says.
Like I said, I don't want to pull at that thread. I just want her to be happy. So, you know, she looks at him and you know, I have to admit, I'm kind of dead inside as well, so I don't really, like, want to go looking at animals and, you know, thinking it makes me happy. But I got to say, looking at these things, they are absolutely adorable. I kind of get it.
Okay.
Welcome to our side.
Wow,
Matt.
That was quite a trip.
And Jeff Palm, I suppose she's all over Jeff Palm, right?
Oh, yeah, big time. And again, I look at this thing and I'm like, it's shaped so weird and the hair is cut in, you know, these odd directions.
That's the point, apparently.
Apparently.
It has to be deformed in some way for people to want to follow them.
Yeah.
Well, Matt has done a great job of figuring out the secret to a happy marriage, which is just let your wife be happy. Just don't question it.
He said,
right?
don't pull on the thread.
That's
what
right.
He said, yeah.
Great call, sir. Thank you. We'll take your calls next on this topic on the way here on the World Famous Camera.
Talking about animals that you follow on Instagram.
From the 310 into Kevin and Bean, Sorsha the Maltese on Instagram. She goes to Everywood Hollywood Forever movie screening, and she and her human both dress up for each.
That sounds great.
Does it?
Yes. So, imagine a picture of them in a little cemetery graveyard all dressed the same.
Listen to Jason. Hey, Kevin and Bean, the only animal I follow is Princess Lilo on IG. She is a dachshund with paralysis in her hind legs. Again, Kevin, you said you have to be damaged to get a big following,
right? They have to be a damaged dog.
Mm-hmm. I do so because my little Maddie is affected with the same debilitation. Been a fan since 1991. So that makes sense. You want to see how she's getting around.
Been a fan since 91? You're still following that dog?
I think she meant it back.
No, of the show. Darren has been a fan of our show.
I was going to say, I got news for you.
They've replaced that dog.
Both are truly damaged, though.
let's take Jamie Huntington Beach, line 5. And then I want to tell you guys about my animals that I follow, because I only follow two. I'm deeply committed to both of mine. Jamie, thank you for calling and holding on. What's going on?
Hi, guys.
Hi. Hey.
I follow a squirrel.
Oh,
a squirrel.
Yeah, Jill the squirrel. She's a domesticated squirrel.
What
kinds of things does she do? What does Jill do?
Well, she's potty trained, and she loves to drink her green smoothies in the morning, and she jumps and does all kinds of fun stuff with her mom.
Has it changed the way you feel about or react to squirrels in the wild when you see them just driving down the street or in your neighborhood?
I mean, my husband feeds the squirrels in my backyard, so.
Okay. All right. So the whole family's crazy.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah. Okay. She accepts it.
I'm looking at Jill the squirrel. Uh-huh. Jill's wearing a flower crown and being pet.
She has a birthday party.
Okay, I can't keep doing this. I can't. I love you, Jamie, but I'm hanging up
on
you.
Honestly, I'm nervous that I even have to do the show for another hour.
You want to do is look at Jill. All right, I have two animals that I follow, and both are wonderful animals for a number of reasons.
By the way, Bean only follows, 98?
Something like that. 97? On Instagram, yeah.
That's
So two is a big commitment for you.
It is a big, it's a large percentage.
Yes, yes.
One of them has done so much for the image of pigs and also to raise money for animal related causes. And that is Esther the Wonder Pig. And she is enormously popular. There are books out about her.
What's her malfunction? What's wrong with her?
There's nothing wrong with her.
There's something wrong with all of the pets on the internet.
It's probably emotional.
Allie, do you follow Esther the Wonder Pig?
I do not. But is this the pig that came to your house?
No, no, this is not. Those are multiple other pigs. No, Esther lives in Canada.
I'm the only person I know who can have multiple other pigs.
Him and Donna met through Instagram, a pig that came to their home.
We had a bunch of Instagram pigs come over to our house for a piggy party
one time. Holy crap.
Including Hank, your best friend, who is enormously popular.
Hank is very popular.
Hank is very popular.
I need to be in the dirt.
Esther the Wonder Pig, is a full-size farm pig, you know, like 900 pounds or something like mine used to be. And the most remarkable thing about her to me is that she is unexceptional in every way. And that's why I love her, because she's getting people to look at pigs in a way that they don't normally look at them, which is all pigs are wonder pigs. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about Esther. And believe it or not, the other account that I follow is one that Rex is calling us about from Burbank on line two. This is the other one that I was going to get you guys up on, but I'm going to let Rex do it instead. Good morning, Rex.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Bean, you're misunderstanding this topic, I think. We're not trying to get people up on pets.
Well, no, but we're talking about why we love the pets that we follow on Instagram.
Right.
And I just couldn't believe that a pet that I know is one that Rex is calling
about. You don't
know
the pet.
I do. Go ahead, Rex.
I follow It's Me Sesame.
Yes.
And that's what?
Sesame the possum.
She's a possum. Sesame is a possum that I know who lives in New Orleans, by the way. And I'm very good friends with her owner named Allie, by the way. And she also has a little, she has a starfish and she has daffodil. She has all sorts of possums.
They've been to your house.
They've been to my house. Yes. They all, they do wonderful, wonderful. There's a whole line of merchandise for animal, you know, there's a whole store called Coco Alley, which is, raises all sorts of money for animal causes.
Look at her in the tub.
How cute is she? How cute is she?
You think that's adorable? Look at her in the pajamas.
Oh, I can't wait.
Kevin, you still want to be in the dirt?
More than ever.
And I'm telling you what, it'll change your mind about possums. If you're one of those people who thinks of possums as just pests or rodents in your yard that knock over your trash cans, I'm telling you, you would fall in love with these possums.
I wouldn't.
You would sleep with these possums?
I would shoot Instagram with my BB gun.
Oh, how dare you. Rex, that's a great pick, my friend. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
I just made my whole day. All right, you too. You want to talk to Adam in Burbank real quick on line six?
Sure.
By the way, we could go all day. Look how many people are calling on this.
Also, I'd like line seven, but we're running
out
of time.
Let's do those two, yeah.
Okay, Adam in Burbank, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi.
So I follow a rock dog on Instagram. He's a French bulldog, and he skateboards.
Ooh,
that's
all right. That's the first one.
Time seeing it.
That's the first one that I go, all right, maybe.
That's a talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think it's just like the owner pushing him on a skateboard, but no, he grabs it with his mouth, gets some speed, and jumps on and goes like up and down the ramps and stuff. He does it all the time. It's actually like the wildest thing I've seen.
He's in skate parks. He's like not just on like at a boardwalk. He's in different skate parks. Go, a rock dog.
Okay.
Oh, I love him.
You guys, thank you for the call. We appreciate Adam. We'll go to line seven next. You guys know that skateboarding is going to be in the Olympics in 4 years, right?
Pet skateboarding?
I'm saying let's get a rock dog on the U.S. team, right?
No. You're missing the point.
I agree.
Becca in Anaheim, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What deformed animal do you follow?
I follow Genie, the three-legged dog, Chihuahua.
The three-legged Chihuahua.
Yeah, damage again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did she lose her leg? Do we know?
In the war?
I don't know.
Gang fight.
She's
turf war.
She's beautiful. I am a dog lover. And, you know, I have basically my dog tattooed on my face and on my arm.
I'm sorry. Hold, please.
Wait.
Explain the tattoo on your face. Where is it? What is
it? Well, I have my dog's name tattooed on my face above my eyebrow, and then my dog's face tattooed on my arm. I got it for his birthday.
For his birthday?
Right.
How much did he appreciate it?
He asked for it, I think. He's like, that would be a good gift, sir.
He must have loved it. He was like, what are you doing? What are you doing putting a tattoo on your face? He was very disappointed in you.
What's your dog's name that you got tattooed above your eye?
Voodoo.
Voodoo. I don't hate it.
Well, let me explain. I'm very, like, I'm already heavily tattooed.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, no. We didn't think the voodoo above your eyebrow was your only tattoo.
It was the first one.
First
and only one. All right.
Yeah.
I respect it.
I am, like, a dog lover forever.
Well, you have to be now.
Same.
Yes, exactly.
You're stuck loving voodoo.
Enjoy that three-legged...
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hey, don't forget, all week long on the world-famous K-Rock, we are giving you tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights. And Megan Holliday is going to be broadcasting live from the park this Friday night from 7 to 11, which is always a lot of fun. I love whenever Megan is out in public because you have to try to guess what color her hair is going to be. So that'll be Friday night if you want to join her.
That is a party.
No, but I'm just saying, it seems like every 2 days she comes up with totally different hair.
It's like every few months.
And she's also a rad chick, by the way.
She is rad.
She's
you should
very
totally,
rad.
Totally be there.
I'm not positive you can even pull off rad chick.
And totally win your tickets to go see that thing. Look, I'm doing the best I can, you guys. Allie, what is happening on this Wednesday?
I don't know about you guys, but you know that I love me some Christmas movies.
Sure.
I love the...
You've never mentioned that before.
I love, like, Countdown to Christmas on Hallmark. I love the fact that Freeform is doing their 31 Nights of Halloween. Mm-hmm. So they're showing all different Halloween programming.
All right, I can get into that.
You into that?
Yeah.
Well, it started yesterday. They kicked off the 31 Nights of Halloween. It's an annual event, but before it was 13 Nights of Halloween. Now they're like, people really dig Halloween. Let's do it the whole month of October. Here's what I love.
I'm sorry, the whole month of what?
Rocktober. A fan favorite, Hocus Pocus, is going to play more than 2 dozen times throughout the month and culminate with the Hocus Pocus Marathon event on the 31st.
I'll tell you one thing. Hocus Pocus has had quite a run.
Yes.
It's a real nostalgic-based film, but it's bigger now than it was then.
I think so, too.
100%. Yeah. Then, of course, they've got The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Sure,
you need it. The Simpsons Treehouse of Horror-a-thon.
Great. Sure.
Awesome. All sorts of great movies to be watching. You guys, Adam's Family, Edward Scissorhands.
Great ones.
Really good stuff. Basically, what I'm saying is, the month of October, I'm going straight home after work and just watching TV, which isn't much different.
Yeah, I was wondering.
If I'm honest.
That's a mix-up there. Hey, can I put in a plug for a series of movies in Rocktober as well?
I mean, I'd rather you didn't.
The TCM, thank you, Kevin, for your endorsement. TCM on Friday nights, every Friday in October, is doing marathons of Godzilla movies. And there are so many Godzilla movies that I have never seen.
That's a Halloween stretch, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, Godzilla? A little bit.
They're kind of scary, though. Mm.
I mean, monster movie.
Movies like Godzilla Raids Again, for instance, I didn't know. Godzilla vs. Monster Zero, I didn't know. Ibira, Horror of the Deep, which is actually a Godzilla movie. I mean, some of the deep cuts in the Godzilla franchise, you know, because everybody knows about Mothra and everybody knows about Ghidorah, but I'm just saying the franchise goes even beyond that, and I'm super psyched to catch up on Godzilla.
Well, we all know the tradition of children before they go trick-or-treating, they all gather around and watch a Godzilla movie.
I'm just saying, it's an opportunity to get deeper into a franchise that a lot of people maybe haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yesterday, the New Beverly put out their October schedule.
Yes.
I mean, they always do the right thing. But I will say this also about New Beverly. They're going to be showing Dolomite Is My Name.
Ooh, interesting.
On the big screen. So it comes out Friday on Netflix. Then you could start, I believe, on that Monday. It's going to be playing at New Beverly. I'm going to see it. I'm on the big screen.
Okay.
They've also got like 2 p.m. matinees of Psycho. So thank you, New Beverly. I love you so very much. What were you talking about?
You were talking about the 31
Christmas,
days.
Christmas, your favorite thing, and then Halloween movies.
And then Bean came in with
Bean
movies
said Godzilla,
that have nothing
and that
to do
literally
with Halloween.
Has nothing to do with Halloween. Yeah, nothing.
Right.
What's your favorite Halloween movie?
I like this movie called Trick or Treat.
Okay.
Do you know about it?
No.
That Michael Dougherty made a couple years ago. It's a little like creep show, a bunch of different stories going on at once.
Oh.
Very good.
All right.
And it was an overlooked.
Can Nightmare Before Christmas be a Halloween movie or no?
Yeah.
100%.
I think so.
Then that's my favorite Halloween
movie. If I'm going to, I love actual like thriller, like cult classics, everything like
right.
that. But if I'm going to go just say kind of cheesy rom-commy type thing that I can watch every single Halloween, I'm watching the heck out of Practical Magic.
Good movie.
That's
I mean, not really, but
delight.
You know what I mean.
But that movie is a delight.
It's not a great movie, but it's like, you know, it's comfort food.
It's a delight.
Yeah.
Mine's Black Sheep.
Kevin,
sheep, zombie sheep.
Yeah, explain it.
It's a guy doing gene splitting and trying. It's a bizarre movie where sheep do turn in to zombies and do attack and kill people, and then the people turn into sheep.
That sounds like a good
it's
Halloween
a
movie.
Wonderful movie.
Unlike Godzilla, that
for
sounds,
all the kids.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yep,
and that was Helen Mirren and yeah. Meryl Streep.
It's written by Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin wrote that movie.
Is it really? But does at one point doesn't he try to get one of the sheep like out of the car, but then the sheep just starts driving?
Oh yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Hey, spoiler alert, by the way.
I mean, that's not how it ends.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah. And if I could point you towards a kind of a classic Halloween movie that I, again, with my babysitter, I should never have been watching this because it has one of the most graphic sex scenes like in all of moviedom.
Okay.
But it's called Don't Look Now. It's from the 70s. It's real good. Donald Sutherland.
Oh. Never seen it.
Oh.
I don't think I have either.
You guys. Just saying, I should never have watched this movie.
Well, I hope it's as good as Practical Magic.
All right. I didn't make fun of all of your stupid animals that you follow on Twitter.
I did.
Okay, Kevin did,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, was there a rhino elephant? What is that? It's
supposed to be Godzilla.
Oh, that's Godzilla.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah.
Maybe I should.
The Halloween icon, Godzilla.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
You're fired, obviously.
Some birthdays for you. Tiffany, Lorraine Rocco, Sting, Kelly Ripa, and Annie Leibovitz. And that
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Hey, Ellie McKay.
Hey, Bean.
One more. What's happening? What's going on?
Well, you know what tomorrow is, right?
Tomorrow is Thursday the 3rd of October?
Thursday.
Oh, is it Mean Girls Day?
It's Mean Girls Day.
Mean Girls Day!
Yeah.
I love Mean Girls Day.
But it's kind of a... It's kind of a cool thing because, you know, it's when Lindsay Lohan's character was asked by the heartthrob, Aaron Samuels, what's the date today? And she said, it's October 3rd. And that's it.
That's the whole thing?
That's why it's Mean Girls Day. I mean, last year it ruled because it was also on a Wednesday, which is when we wear pink.
We're pink, mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah. It was a double whammy. However, tickets to a Mean Girls-themed pop-up go on sale tomorrow. What do you think of that? It's called Fetch. It's a new spot. And
Ollie, stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Okay. Well, these people are trying to make it happen. For $45, attendees will have a 90-minute time slot for a three-course meal. Menu options include the Just Stab Caesar salad with pink dressing, whatever cheese fries with pink cheese sauce, Coach's hot dog with pink coleslaw. Here's the thing.
Seems a bit like a reach.
Reach, because then I went to fetchpopup.com, and it said, we are not affiliated with Mean Girls, Paramount Pictures, Lorne Michaels Productions, any of the cast and crew, or Toaster Strudels.
So it's completely unofficial and off the books.
Yes. I'm very confused.
What are you talking about?
I'm very confused by this whole thing. What are you doing?
What is that smell? Oh, Regina gave me some perfume. You smell like a baby prostitute. Thanks.
I mean, it still sounds fun.
It does it? Because it's not affiliated with the movie at all. They just have some foods with pink stuff on it.
The Saved by the Bell one, which was very popular in Chicago first, then here in L.A., was not affiliated until Saved by the Bell found out.
Really?
And then they became affiliated, yeah.
I did not know that. Yeah. What about the 90210 Nat's Diner?
I think that was just purely promotional. Yeah,
that was official, yeah.
Okay.
Do you guys love Mean Girls as much as I do?
I very much like it.
Great.
It's
great.
I think it's a great movie.
Very good.
I don't think I love it as much as you do, but I think it's a great movie.
Good we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bean, what's this Carly Rae Jepsen thing that you're so all about?
Well, I'm all about it in that I haven't heard it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not swearing by it. No, they just have this neat series of things that they do at Spotify where they have artists go in and usually do an acoustic or a reworked version of one of their popular songs. Mm-hmm. And then while they're there, they have them do a cover. They can pick any cover that they want.
Oh, for their single series.
Well, Spotify single series, which is what I said at the beginning. Yes.
Is this what this is?
That's what this is.
Okay.
Yeah, is this the single series?
Yes. So Carly
Rae. It's where
Rae,
they do one of their own songs.
That's right.
And then they also pick another artist's
song.
Oh.
Songs.
Yeah.
The single series.
We've established that.
Right.
We've established it. Yeah. So Carly Rae was in, and she could choose any song she wanted, and mm-hmm. she chose No Doubt. And their big number one hit, Don't Speak.
Oh.
And would you like to hear a copy of that?
Was it a cover series? Like, they just do covers?
They pick one, like, one song by somebody
Spotify
else.
Cover series.
Yeah, it's Spotify single series. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So here's the great Carly Rae Jepsen, who I heard is a great artist.
Okay.
Covering the classic
from yourself.
From No Doubt.
Okay. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game that's on. Not, go that's play. Not
right.
Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get
so that is Carly Rae. It's a little different.
That is Smash Mouth. That was during
expected?
Our Masked Singer.
That was me pitched
thing.
Up.
Yeah,
oh,
that was
really?
That was Jensen singing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Kevin, do you have it?
I do have it, actually.
Okay.
That sounds a little too much like the original.
Too on the nose.
And the original's better.
Here's what Consequence of Sound says.
Yes.
While Carly Rae Jepsen keeps the music fairly close to the original, she doesn't try to fake Gwen Stefani's iconically agile, nasally voice. Instead, she delivers the breakup song with an air of breathiness that softens the heartbreak.
Bean write this?
It may be a bit less pitiable. But in turn, it's lovelier in its sorrow. Shut up,
what
Consequence
the hell?
Of Sound. What are you doing?
I didn't get all that
uh-huh.
from what
uh-huh.
we heard. But I kind of agree with Kevin. It just seemed a little bit too much like the original. Like, what's the point?
You didn't find it lovelier in its sorrow?
That wasn't my takeaway. No.
With an air of breathiness that softens the heartbreak?
Look, I'm always happy to hear Carly Rae sing, but that wouldn't be in my favorite.
That's
my
too close to Gwen Stefani, and she does
yeah.
it better.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but I'm glad we heard it.
I'm glad you brought that to us, Bean, because I had never heard of the Spotify single series.
That's what that was.
Well, yeah.
What do they do?
Well, you go on and you do kind of a reimagining of one of your hits,
right?
And then you take a song that you love by another artist.
Oh, so it's like people. It's like a cover song.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I see.
Yeah.
I'm screaming.
You nailed it, Kevin.
Thank you.
You nailed it, Kevin. It's very true. Any of you guys still follow an ex on Instagram?
No.
No.
I have been married so long, I no longer have any living exes.
By the way, Bean does. He just doesn't remember them.
He doesn't remember them.
He thinks they're just friends now.
Okay, but you don't.
No,
all.
I distinctly go out of my way to unfollow people that I've dated, even if it's on good terms.
Yeah, I was going to say, why can't you be friends with an ex?
I could be kind of friends. I mean, the point is I don't think that that's needed. I don't think it's necessary. I think we've kind of talked about this before. I don't think that it is necessary to see someone's life every single day after you break up, which is kind of what Instagram is, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if enough time has gone by, it's no longer awkward at all. They're just in your circle of friends like everybody else that you didn't date.
I honestly think I have enough friends. That's the truth.
You don't need more.
Don't need more. And also, I wish no ill just because I don't follow you on social media.
Right.
I just don't think.
Yeah,
I think when
but that's like not even being in their lives if you don't follow them.
Well, I don't need to know everything they're doing. That is what Instagram kind of is.
Do you have a limit?
Would you follow them if they only had one leg?
If they were dads in some way? Do you have a limit to the number of friends you'll have, just like you have very strict rules on how long a movie can be or a concert can be?
It depends. Are we talking about like friends, or are we talking about acquaintances? Because I think that you should have a limit on your friends, but I don't think you should have a limit on acquaintances.
Acquaintances is unlimited.
Oh,
what's
unlimited.
The limit on the friends?
I think 15 would be about enough. I think anything above 15, you're just lying.
You have weird categories.
I don't have that many.
You have what?
I don't have that many. I don't have that
yeah,
many.
Yeah, 15 is high. That's, I agree
I think
with you.
15 is high for close friends.
But I'm more saying that is the limit for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think at 8, I think that's where you should be, but I'm giving you 15. In the same
that's
way that
nice
I think everyone should have no more than 2 kids, I think you should. But if you want to have 3, I understand it. I'll give you 3.
Okay.
But
anything
more,
over 3,
mental illness.
Wow. I agree with the man.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came from a family of 12.
Yeah, that's sickening.
12.
Yeah. That is
my
sickening.
Mom is the oldest of 10.
Yeah, it's gross.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Catholic. So.
Mistakes.
Well, mistakes.
I mean, the last two. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well,
for sure.
When the baby is 13 years younger than the rest of them, there's a boo-boo sex happening.
Oh, no. They all came real quick after each other. My grandpa put in work.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I think.
Give me a break.
Yeah, my Grammy's like, can I not? And then he died.
Yeah, right.
He literally did. When my mom was 18, he died.
Oh.
And my mom, like, basically had to go to nursing school and then raise the rest of her brothers and sisters with my Grammy because they were too busy boning all the time to stop having kids until he died of a heart attack, probably from boning.
A lot of aggression in this retelling. Tomorrow, do we have time? Could we take some calls on, I think Jensen is wrong about excluding exes from your circle of friends.
It's a hot take. I guess I'll take, sure. I'll call myself Hot Take Jones on that.
Well, the reason I bring it up, having to do with what does it mean if your ex still follows you on Instagram, according to a matchmaker named Susan Trombetti, she says it could mean that they have residual feelings and want to keep tabs on your life.
Susan is 100% right. Thanks for joining.
No.
Yes.
Or they just grow up and they're mature enough to put that relationship behind them.
Or
and
you're
now
immature.
Just treat you as person that has good qualities that they enjoy being in your orbit.
Or you're too immature to let go.
Funny, because none of the points Bean is bringing up even enter into the equation. But it could also mean...
Bean also doesn't have those people in his life.
Right, but it could also mean they just forgot to unfollow you, or they're too proud to hit unfollow, which is an interesting take.
Okay.
Because if they hit unfollow, then it like, oh, well, I don't want to, I can't follow you. Like, you feel like you're too proud to admit that you don't want to follow them anymore.
You know what I'll tell them? I'll tell you there.
That was hard to say.
You know what I'll tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Mute them, because you can on Instagram, you know, since last year or whatever, you can mute someone on Instagram. I understand that proud thing, and also maybe you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, but still mute them because it's self-care for you.
I feel like there's way too much importance put on whether I'm following somebody or not.
Oh, absolutely.
Who cares?
No. 2019 dating pool, Kevin?
Yeah, it's
all
about
different.
This.
Okay.
I heard kids in Target the other day. I was like an old man listening to kids talk. I was passing.
What is he about to say right now?
This is a true story.
Yeah, wait.
This is a true story. Walking by an aisle, two kids in an aisle talking. Two cools.
Right.
Cools. And they're talking to each other. The cools are talking
to
each
old?
Other.
You're old?
Yes.
In the story? Okay.
I'm the old man.
Okay.
And they say, one says to the other one, did she at least look at the photo? And he said, no, not yet. And he said, well, you better check in. And then he said, no, I know, but maybe I'll text her tonight. And he's like, no, that'll seem desperate. They were talking about purely social media interaction.
If she had looked at his story.
It's like circle yes or no, but
that's
it's
sad.
All on social media.
That's
right.
Sad.
Is it sad?
Yeah.
Because I told Danielle, me and her were both being the olds.
And Danielle is whom?
Danielle's my wife.
Okay.
We as I was walking away, I go, you know what? I kind of like this for Adler, because I used to love that kind of like, hee-hee, that giddy feeling about liking someone and knowing if they like back. It gives you a new kind of not touching. Like, it's just it's like a new.
Oh, it'll be totally different by the time he's dating, though.
Oh, yeah. They'll just be like staring at each other and touching their temples and they'll know.
Or like a drone. Like, you have to look up at a drone and like give it a wink.
Right.
Something bizarre.
That's probably a pretty good guess.
And give it a wink?
That seems like more work.
Just weirdo kids winking at the sky. I hope I'm alive for it.
We must discuss that because Dave says he is in the middle of a battle of friends who are arguing about who follows who.
Yeah, because it's important.
These are grown ass people
who
are arguing about why one doesn't follow the other one on Instagram. So I think there's a lot more pressure on that follow than there is.
Got into it with an old coworker of mine that followed like everyone at work on Twitter, even people that she hated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you don't feel completely phony, like liking their pictures and everything. You can't stand this person. Well, I just do it, you know, just to keep up with work people. And it's what I have to do. And I was
it's
not.
Yeah, I mean, Danielle, my wife, makes fun of me because she'll be like, who's this guy? And I'll go, oh, I wrote a sketch with him at Funny or Die like 10 years ago. And she's like, and you still need to know what ham sandwich he's eating? Like, it is true. Like, there are certain people, like, it is a lot of brain space to know what someone is doing every single day. That is a lot of space.
Yeah.
So.
That I don't have.
I don't have it either.
None of us should have it.
Okay.
I think you should only have, well, whatever. It's dogs and tattoo
artists. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it
Special
tomorrow.
Dogs and tattoo artists.
Okay.
That's my Instagram.
Okay. Some birthdays for you. Annie Leibovitz, Kelly Ripa, Sting, Lorraine Bracco, Tiffany, and Efren Ramirez. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home tomorrow morning an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. RJ Bell gives us his picks for week 5.
Ooh, a bad week.
Yeah.
Oh,
why bother? Why bother?
He was 0-3.
Man. Yeah.
Oh, I bet his phone's not going to work tomorrow. Yeah. Bad signal.
We might have to pick a good song to introduce him with. Something.
He was feeling pretty good about 8-1. Yeah. Let's see how he's feeling about 8-4.
Jensen has Get Up on this tomorrow, and one of our favorites, Rob Corddry, joins.